You are about to witness history in the making.
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
What horrible spirit-crushing thing are you going to tell me now?
It's the George Plaster Show.
Americans heard the news and went wild.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600, and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a beautiful Friday afternoon. How beautiful? Let's go with 72 degrees at the moment. That's not all bad. 75 is the predicted high today. Actually, 73 is. 75 tomorrow, 79 both Sunday and Monday. And then according to the long-range forecast, rain options all the way from Tuesday to next Sunday. So, who knows? We're getting into a different cycle, and here we go. So, it's Friday, and that's always a good thing. Let's begin with the cast of characters. Jack Gentry is in studio. Jack, how are you?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well.
Ready to talk some sports. Hey, I'm going to the Sounds game tonight. Very excited about that.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yelich is on a rehab stint. D. Gordon's going to be there. I mean,
really?
It's as good of a AAA game as you're going to find.
Get us an interview with Christian Yelich.
You think I can do that?
No.
You got any
credentials? No, I don't.
If you slide me a credential, I could sneak my way down there.
I don't think it'll. Well, first of all, I think most of the clubs are still operating in the Zoom mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're not quite at that point. We hope we're getting there. We're not quite at that point.
No masks yet. Tonight, though.
No, and they're allowing as many, I think I'm right, tonight is the beginning of allowing as many as they want in
full
there.
Full capacity, yeah.
Yeah.
No restrictions.
Okay.
No COVID restrictions at all.
We turn to the left. Michael Cindric, week one of his, what do we call this, an internship?
Mm-hmm. Internship.
Michael is a Division II scholarship football player at Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. What's more fun, a week of football practice or this?
This is pretty fun. I'm not getting hit in the head with a helmet, so that's nice.
Yeah.
I get to talk sports, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The first week's been good, and now we've got, you know, I'm really excited for the Predator game. I've been to one hockey game before I went to a Nashville Predators game, and now it's, I mean, I think I might have the bug. I'm catching it at the right time, obviously, getting to watch the playoffs, but with it right around the corner after this weekend, I'm excited. I feel like I've been a Predator fan for a long time. I'm not even sad the Stars didn't make it. It's fine.
You've been paying attention now for, what, about a month?
Well, you've kind of made me, but yes.
Yeah. I gave you no choice.
No choice.
The
internship was riding on the fact that I cared about the Nashville Predators.
Jack, that's the way it should be.
Yeah. It didn't. By no means should it be any other way. This is a Preds town right now.
Yep.
Get on board or get off.
I am fully emerged right now.
You're immersed.
Yeah, immersed.
Immersed.
What word did that one? Immersed. Immersed. That's it.
You just make up
whatever
words
the word
you,
comes yeah. up. Yeah, you just say it.
I used one a couple of days ago that does not mean what I thought it did. why don't we do this right off the start? Let's what's the note there?
We have Terry McCormick on. I didn't know if you wanted to bring him on yet.
No, he's not on until 3.
He's not on until 3. Okay.
Uh-uh.
All right.
Does he know that?
I don't think he
well,
does.
Bring him up anyway. What
bring
the heck?
Him up.
So Terry, how does it feel to not be wanted?
Wow. Well, I'm used to it.
Really? Well,
I'm just messing with you, George.
Okay, while I've got you on, and then we'll blow you away and we'll see you at 3. Any Titans news I need to know?
Well, tomorrow is rookie minicamp, so you're going to get to see, or at least they're going to make available the practice, open it up. We're going to get to have, yippee, Zoom interviews with rookie players. And then they also have added 10 undrafted rookies, and then they'll have several more in on a tryout basis. The ones that are interesting from the undrafted class, there is a kicker from Ohio State, Blake Hallbeil, I guess is how you say his name. I'm not real sure about that. But apparently was very accurate while he was a Buckeye. So And the Titans need help at kicker, so maybe old Blake is the answer.
Is re-signing Gostkowski a dead issue?
Well, they don't. It's funny you should ask that, because when I asked John Robinson that after the draft, you know, I asked him if there was a chance that they would re-sign Steven Gostkowski, and he had just been asked if they would re-sign Mycole Pruitt, the tight end. He did not mention Gostkowski by name when he gave his answer. He just said, we are, you know, much like the Mycole Pruitt situation, we are looking at all options at the kicker position.
Wow. Are you surprised they've let themselves get in this shape?
Yeah, a little bit, considering how unsettled the kicking situation has been over the last couple of years. I would have thought that that would have been a priority. Even in a down cap year, I would have thought that they would have wanted to have somebody that they could count on and say, hey, we need this guy right here to be our, you know, reliable guy that's going to make field goals for us.
Because they play a lot of close games where the deciding factor might well be all phases of your kicking game.
No doubt. No doubt. And, you know, it kind of bit them in the butt in 2019. I know that they wound up going to the AFC Championship game that year, and it really didn't hurt them because they were really good in the red zone, and they wound up scoring a lot more touchdowns than they did, you know, having to settle for field goals. But you know this as well as I do, George. There are a lot of 20-17 type games in the NFL, and if you don't have a kicker who can get you on the upper end of that score, then you're gonna lose a lot of close games, and it can cost you a playoff berth.
You got that right, Terry. I know how much you love Stat of the Day. Would you like to stay on the line to be put on the Kroger hot seat?
Oh, I thought I was giving the Stat of the Day today. Remember?
Oh.
I forgot about that.
I did, too.
Yeah, Terry hit me up way before to set all the stuff up, too. So,
well, you know what? We may have two today. How about that? Let's go.
And now it's time for Stat of the Day. Brought to you by Jeff Holzapfel Pressure Cleaning. Yeah, I said his name correctly. I'm the voice guy. Now, here's George Plaster.
Well, without knowing what Terry has concocted, I will take a guess as to the answer to a question I don't even know. New York Yankees legendary public address announcer Bob Shepard.
No, that is not the answer.
Okay. Let's hear it.
All right. To be fair, you know, I'll say this. I'm going to give you the guy's name, and it'll be easier to see if you guys can figure out what major league record he might hold rather than you trying to guess his name, because Jack and Mike, you got no shot at it. You've never heard of this guy because he played in the 60s and 70s. George, you probably know who this guy is, but unless you found your old baseball card collection in the attic and thumbed through it, you probably haven't thought of him since you were about 12 or 13.
Let's hear it.
Okay. All right. Former Major League outfielder Roger Repose. George, you remember that name?
Roger Repose was a California Angel, correct?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Okay.
Okay. Old Roger had previously played for the Yankees and then played for the Kansas City A's.
Oh, wow.
And on June 6, 1967, old Rog did this. And evidently the A's were very impressed with him, or either that or they were ready to call up Reggie Jackson to be their new right fielder. But they traded old Rog to the Angels, like you mentioned, George. And old Rog didn't do this again, what he did in his last at-bat with the A's, until May 24th, 1970. That was a span of 347 games played, 894 at-bats, and 1,018 plate appearances. What do you guys think it is? And there was dead silence.
I'm going to say that he stole home.
Jack? It's difficult.
Can you say it one more time?
One more time.
Hold okay. on a second, because they may be cheating.
No, look at me.
Hands off the keyboard.
Well, yeah, but that, we need to see the this is okay. hilarious.
Roger Repose went from May 6, 1967 to, or June 6, 1967 to May 24, 1970, a span of 1,018 plate appearances over 347 games with the A's and Angels, and in between those dates, did not do this once.
Hold on. Am I okay. right, though, that plate appearance would eliminate stealing home because he's yes. at home plate?
He did yes. not walk in that span.
He did not hit a double in that span.
But you're closer than you think. You ready?
Yeah.
He did not ground into a double play Ooh, in that
really?
Entire span.
That's a good stat, Terry.
That's a really good stat.
You go, Terry.
Pure but impressive. And hat tip to Roger Repose.
Where did you find that?
Somewhere on the, just randomly on the internet, because I think I looked up something and it said, you know, that I think Joe Torre once grounded in four double plays in a game.
Sure did.
And then it's like, well, what about the other end? And this guy went 1,000 plate appearances without grounding into a double play.
Terry, was he that fast?
No, I think from what I've been told, he was a dead fly ball pool hitter.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to turn the tables, and okay. let's do stat of the day number two.
And now it's time for Stat of the Day, brought to you by Jeff Holzapfel Pressure Cleaning. Yeah, I said his name correctly. I'm the voice guy. Now, here's George Blaster.
It's Friday and there's no consultant telling me what rules I can make up. Let's go to the godfather of Stat of the Day, young Michael Cendric.
I'm a little bit intimidated. I think Terry might be coming for my job here with that stat, but
I don't think he wants it.
I think this one's pretty good here. It's not okay. a question, it's just a stat. But I have a question afterwards,
okay.
a discussion.
Got you. By the way, before we do that, I'm supposed to say that we're broadcasting today from the Strike and Spare Studios, and if you were to ever call in, you would do so on the F&M Bank phone line where Terry is.
Thank you for that, George.
You're welcome.
Stat of the day. Tom Brady is such an outlier that from 1994 to 2016, quarterbacks drafted in the sixth round have the highest win percentage, highest playoff win percentage, and the second most playoff wins of all rounds. It's my stat of the day. Tom Brady carrying the team for sixth round quarterbacks drafted.
He's the GOAT of any round quarterbacks drafted. Mm.
So here's my question for you.
Shoot.
After beating Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, and obviously Patrick Mahomes was running for his life the whole night, is it possible, or is the case closed for Patrick Mahomes to be the greatest of all time now that he is lost in his maybe prime or going into his prime when Brady is, you would say, near the end of his career? Even if he gets 8 Super Bowls, is it possible for him to lead Brady in the GOAT conversation?
For me, it's tough. Because Tom Brady did it with two different teams. He was part of the greatest dynasty in NFL history. And the thing about Mahomes is he just got paid a lot of money. And it's going to be tough to put pieces around him until that contract expires. So is it possible that he wins 8? Sure. He's got 1 and he's young. But do I think if he wins 8, is he the GOAT? He has to be. 8 is a ton of Super Bowls.
Even though, because the person you'd be comparing him with is Tom Brady. And Brady would have the head-to-head in the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl.
He would, and that was a big win for his legacy last season.
Exactly.
And the thing about Mahomes is, as his career goes on, the passing yards, the NFL is a quarterback-driven league, and Mahomes throws it around better than any of them. So he will have an edge in passing yards, most likely, if he plays as long as Brady does. But playing till you're 43, 44 years old is not something that has really been done before at that position.
So that may be, Terry, where I go with the answer is that we're seeing Brady already for about 6 more years than we had any right to expect. And not only 6 more years, what is he now, 44?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
But he's achieving at the absolute highest level at age 44. And to get Mahomes over that, which isn't going to happen. It's just not. He would have to replicate Brady's abilities at an incredibly old quarterback age. And I just don't think he's going to do that. There are too many variables, too many ways you can get hurt. There's just too much stuff.
I would agree with that, and I'd give you two of those variables. Number one, he's already signed a contract that makes him the highest paid player in the league, or at least it was at the time. And with that type of money, you know, and with the safety concerns regarding football, you know, there's a chance that if he wins three or four Super Bowls, he may decide to walk away while he still has his faculties and, you know, is still very cognizant and all that, rather than run the risk of playing into his 40s. And then, two, he's a different type of quarterback. He's more mobile, obviously, than Brady. But along with that comes, you know, what a lot of people would feel like is more injury risk and shorter careers.
Terry, I guess deep down I would have believed in a scenario where Brady won the Super Bowl in Tampa that he would have immediately retired. You couldn't go out more on top than he has. So let's say in year two in Tampa he doesn't win it. I could see him then getting himself all worked up saying, I'm not going out until I win again. He may be at this a while.
He might be. I mean, as long as he's physically capable and he doesn't show any signs of slowing down now, because there is something to be said for that. You know, Elway did it, Manning did it, but not many have gone out on their terms and on top of the league. And I think that that's something that Brady would appeal to Tom Brady when the time comes.
It also looks like it would appeal to Tampa Bay. I mean, they have done everything to win now.
Yeah, they've pushed all their chips in for what appears to me to be a 2-year, you know, ride to the casino where they just say, it's all on this hand. And, you know, in year two, I don't know where it's going after that, because they appear to have sold their soul to a 2-year devil. But they've already won one Super Bowl, and now everybody believes they could win a second. And to me, there's no way anybody gets past Brady.
Well, you just look at the NFL and the teams that are in right now, and there's nobody that's made enough offseason leaps that you would be like, oh, they're going to take Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay is going to be the favorite.
Yeah.
Them or Kansas City.
Look at it this way from a quarterback perspective. You're talking about Brady having won 7 Super Bowls and all, and if somebody can get to 8. If I'm not mistaken, Ben Roethlisberger is the only other active quarterback with more than one Super Bowl win right now, and he's on his last legs. It wouldn't surprise me if this is his last year to play.
Agreed.
So there are a lot of guys with one, not a lot of guys with more than one other than Brady and Big Ben.
Got it, Terry. Good stuff. We'll see you at 3:05.
All right. Sounds good.
Terry McCormick with a cameo appearance here on the show. So we got some things to take care of, like paying bills. We'll go to our first break in just a moment. And then we may take a phone call first. But then after that, Scott Wallace will join us, and we'll have the Metro Nashville High School Report. And then we may actually give you an update. We've broken all the rules today. If you want to get in early, go ahead at 844-5600. It's a No Rules Friday here on WNSR. Recently, I took a look at my patio and I knew I needed help. That's when I contacted my buddy Jeff Holsapple, and you know what? My patio now looks great. He pressure washed, he did all of the things involving the small crack repair, and you know what? My patio has never looked better. He's been in this for more than 20 years. He knows what he's doing. You contact him at 785-0319 or email jeffholsapp@gmail.com. One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that.
But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website, virtualnashvilleflea market.com, to get more details. And for more information, visit the website, thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. Today's going to be sunny. We'll have a high of 74. Partly cloudy tonight, low 48. Saturday, sunshine, high 78. Clouds and a stray shower or thunderstorm Sunday, high 80. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
You're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
2:26, there are no rules today. It's Friday. I'm breaking all the rules of the show. Haven't even done an update yet. Going to take a few phone calls. Going to have the Metro Nashville High School report in about 3 minutes. In the 3 o'clock hour, the attorney that represented me in my lawsuit against Cumulus, the one and only Jack Waddy, he will join us to talk about athletes on the NCAA level getting paid for the use of their likeness, be able to create sponsorships for themselves. It's a can of worms, and Jack's going to lay it all out for us. Around 3:35. But first, we go to Pegram, Tennessee. Wayne, welcome into WNSR.
Hey, good Friday afternoon, George.
Same here.
A couple things about Patrick. So watching the Super Bowl this past February, it's still refreshing to see and to know that no matter how these professional offenses have evolved over the years and how gimmicky they get and all the tricks and smoke and mirrors, that as the New York Giants exposed Tom Brady, that when a defense can make the offense play faster than they are capable of or comfortable with, it does not matter who the quarterback is. And so, in my opinion, Mahomes, he looked at best average back in February against the Bucs. And then you all were talking about him breaking Brady's record. I can't even see him getting there, not even close, because his game so much involves his legs and so many other portions of just his game is so different than Brady's, where Brady is so protected that he can't do it. He can't last that long. His legs and that kind of movement. Look at what happened to Donovan McNabb at the end of his career. Same type of quarterback, and he really struggled in the end.
Wayne, so
I see Mahomes being that same kind of player.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm going to ask you one question.
All right.
Okay. What we thought was going to be a great Super Bowl had Kansas City look like a dud, right?
Exactly.
And virtually at no point in the last 2 years have they ever looked like a dud, right?
Correct.
I am convinced, this is a theory of mine, 24 hours prior to the Super Bowl, Kansas City and their coaching staff find out about Andy Reid's son and the incident that occurred. And I believe that partially Tampa Bay was the beneficiary of a Kansas City internally that was sapped of all energy. They just didn't seem to care.
I mean, you could make that argument, and I understand it. But Tampa Bay, their defense that night and the plan, and I can't think of the coordinator. I can see his face right now. They were just so much faster at every aspect of the game that night.
Yeah, it's Todd Bowles.
Yeah, Bowles, I mean, it was brilliant. And they had no answer for the speed that Tampa Bay brought to the table. And we saw that speed in the NFC playoffs in the sacks that Bennett had and some of those other guys. I mean, you could see what was coming. And whether the issue with the coaching staff and the little girl and the accident, you know, the tragic accident was a factor, I don't know. But if you watch football and you look at it in hindsight now, you could see that Bucs defense was just rolling downhill and evolving. And, you know, nobody could see anything other than Patrick Mahomes getting his second Lombardi.
Hey, thanks for shooting us the phone call.
All right, man.
Before I bring Scott Wallace on, Jack, do you buy my theory at all?
Yeah, I do. And to the caller's point, he mentioned how that defense was flying around. I think Mike Vrabel and John Robinson took note because Antoine Winfield Jr., a rookie safety, Sean Murphy bunting, an inexperienced cornerback, all were key contributors to that Tampa Bay defense, and they're very young and inexperienced. So you see the way the Titans drafted, maybe they're trying to emulate something that Tampa did last year.
Do you buy my theory?
I do partially, but I don't think it explains the full thing. I still think if that incident wouldn't have happened, Tampa Bay was just so dominant that night. I don't think it makes up for however many touchdowns they got blown out.
Time for the Metro Nashville High School Report with Scott Wallace, who has provided us great info for months. We've done this because it's my belief that on the Metro Nashville high school scene, they don't get nearly enough pub. Most of it is on the private school level, and I think most of you know I'm a private school guy. I went to BGA. But it bothers me that the public schools are getting virtually nothing. So, Scott, lay some good info on us. How you doing?
I'm good, George. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good, man. First of all, I want to talk about this PearlCon. You probably get sick of me talking about PearlCon, but they do a great job over there. Shout out to the administration and the coaches over there, but they are going to, in track, they're going to do it. At the super sectional, the sectional, middle sectional, Monday, the girls finished third overall, and the boys won it, and they're going to qualify for the state championship, which is at the new school, Rockvale High. 14 kids, and the girls are going to have 10 kids to qualify for the state finals, and that's going to be the state finals are going to be May 25th. And then just shout out to all of the Metro kids that are graduating next week. A lot of them are, and some of them are going to college. Three of them, matter of fact, have already either signed or committed to play at Fisk University. Three girls, Sayla Jones from East Nashville, Anaya Young from Cane Ridge, and also they both signed. And then next week we're going to sign Ty Gardner from Maplewood High School. And it's going to be maybe another one. Can't really mention it because they haven't made anything official. So just shout out to this year. This year has been such a crazy year with the COVID situation. And, George, for you all to help us out, to be a sounding board for us to be able to get these kids back on the football field, on the basketball court, on the track, in the baseball field. It's been a great year, man, and we do appreciate you a whole lot for standing up. And I remember, and I told this story to some of the coaches, that when the Predators were about to leave and go to Kansas City, I believe, and you rallied around there, I kind of mimicked that from how you've helped us out, man. So you've been a person that has kept his word. You and I have been for 2 years been talking about this. So I want to personally thank you and say how much I appreciate you for what you've done for Metro Sports this year.
Scott, you're really nice. You're probably not going to get any money out of this, but you should.
Well,
that was really nice.
Hey, to get you as a friend, man, that's money enough for me. You, Zach, and Coach, man, it's been a great year. I just want to, you know, just say that. And I like to give people their roses while they're right on this side, not when they die, man. Again, I appreciate that. I want to mention one more thing before I leave. Music City Showdown Truck Show is going to be at the fairgrounds on the racetrack. And one of the trucks that's there and is very interesting, and I'm going to put a picture on Twitter and tag you all in it, is the truck that carried rapper DMX's casket when he passed away. It's here along with some other things. So come on out and check it out at the fairgrounds. And for more information, go to musiccityshowdown.net.
Scott, you're a good man. I appreciate you sharing all this info.
All right. Thanks, George. We'll see you next week.
Have a good weekend. Scott Wallace with our Metro Nashville High School Report. He's done a terrific job with this, and I hope all of you have enjoyed it. Why don't we try Tony in Nolensville? Tony, you're on WNSR at 2:34.
Good afternoon, guys, and I'm glad it's a No Rules Friday, George. It sounds great. I love it.
No rules, just right.
And with that, Jack Gentry.
Hey, Tony.
I am disappointed in you.
Oh, no.
You're going to the Sounds game and going bypass, tweet, 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 clap, 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 tweet, 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 clap, clap, clap.
What's tweet, 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 clap, clap, clap?
The Vanderbilt Ole Miss game and that Whistler.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Ole Miss lost Gunnar Hoglund, who is – The most pro-ready pitcher on that staff. Their season it's all but finished. They don't have a chance once regionals
Jack
come around.
The courageous captain who hit the walk or hit a three-run dinger last week. What a player he's been down there for Ole Miss, and how courageous it is for him to try to do what he can as far as, you know, before he has his surgery on where didn't he tear his ACL?
Yeah, are you talking about Tim Elko?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's really banged up. Yeah, Ole Miss always has a player or two that they hold really close, that fan base, because it feels like a baseball school when the football team's down, when they're struggling to make bowl games, and the basketball program. Kermit Davis has completely revamped that program and turned it around to a respectable SEC basketball program, but it feels like a baseball school. That's the sport that they have the best chance year in, year out to win a title, although they haven't. When they have a player like Elko, and when he has a moment like that, it's something that Oxford really rallies around. It's a close-knit community, and they're really tied into that baseball program. So that was special. I'm glad that they had their moment last weekend, because Vanderbilt's going to come in, and Jack Leiter's off an extra week of rest, and it's going to get ugly down there.
It's going to be a fun series. Matter of fact, both tonight and tomorrow night, well, all the games are always on TV. I don't have to mention that. And the last time, remember the last time we played each other was in the SEC final 2 years ago where Ole Miss was had us down 9-1. We come back and won 11-10 with a walk off.
I was in Oxford.
It's a game the Reps and Rep fans want to forget. I do understand that, but that was last time we played.
They have a saying down in Oxford, and it's "We are Ole Miss." It's used for moments exactly like that when Ole Miss gets up big on a team and blows it. It happened on the 4th-and-27 play against Arkansas, where if they won that, they'd have won the SEC a few years ago, back in 2015, I believe. And it seems to bite them more than it does not.
We are Ole Miss.
We are Ole Miss.
Boy, that's creative.
It's just one of those where you just use after something terrible has happened that only Ole Miss can blow.
Okay.
George, there's two stories I've picked up on, and one of them, if y'all haven't seen it, did y'all see the knockout in the stands at the Rockies Padres game?
Yes.
Man. Oh, George, if you hadn't seen this, you got to see it.
One of the cleanest punches I've ever seen.
Oh, it was unbelievable. But one other story, George, that I've picked up on that's really disturbing. The Kobe Bryant case, where it's coming out that a lot of the sheriff's deputies and fire department personnel took pictures of the deceased at the crime,
at
the crash site.
Yeah.
And have started leaking these pictures. That's terrible.
It's pathetic, is what it is.
It is
absolutely pathetic.
I cannot believe this has come out to this, and they said it's getting worse, and I'm just, I was stunned by George, and I could not believe saw this article and then saw, you know, I mean, what a sad disrespect, just pathetic outlook or whatever these people are towards the family and everything like that. But I picked up on that and saw it. But anyway, guys, it's a great day today, great weekend, a great show. And I tell you what, George, we've talked before about you putting out, so you've got some of them out there, some of your peeps that you trained as interns. I think you got another one that's going to be, we'll be seeing him in great places in a few years to come.
Wow. Michael has an agent.
Really brings it.
Hey, I really appreciate that. That's one of the nicest compliments I've received.
But you do a good job, and you'd never know you were just getting into the business a little bit. You do a great job.
Thank you so much. That means a ton.
You're welcome. Guys, have a great weekend, everybody.
Tony, you too. Okay, let's do this. I'm, I'm amazed. No Rules Friday has got some of you on the phone line. So what the heck? We haven't even done an update. Who cares? It's No Rules Friday. You jump on the lines, and we'll talk to you after the break. 844-5600 is the number. Normally, I don't do a lot of phone calls during the 2 o'clock hour, but I know what's going on. Y'all are sneaking out of work early. It's possible you have lied to your bosses. I'm on my way to such and such to continue work. Maybe you are and maybe you aren't. Whatever the case, hit the phones. We're back after this.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Nashville Sports Radio is on the streets.
Hey Nashville, John Burton here, and we'll be live at Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel for their grand reopening on May 27th. Join the Bill King Show and the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show starting at 6. Kitchen Notes is reopening, and Nashville Sports Radio will be there live from 6 to 11. That's May 27th, Kitchen Notes, Omni Nashville Hotel with Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio.
This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
2:45 is the time we have created today. A No Rules Friday. We haven't even done an update. And yet you all have wanted to talk, so you know what? We're going to talk. Jeff in Murfreesboro, you're up next.
What's going on, George?
I'm good. Hope you're doing good.
I'm doing good. I have to kind of semi-work tonight. I got a district championship softball game to do, 6 o'clock. Right? They're supposed to play last night, but the one of the schools played at graduation, so they pushed it off and on to Friday night. So, but and everything. So
graduation deserves first priority. Gotcha.
But I don't know if Watson and Terry were in there or not, but I guess they're not. They must be gone.
They're not. Watson's off today. Terry will join us at 3 p.m.
Well, I just didn't know if Watson knew this or not. I don't know if he's listening or not, but I was telling you I wanted to have an Oakland High's football schedule next year.
Mm-hmm.
They're defending state champions in 6A. Of course, they played two out-of-state teams. They're going to get a third, but it fell through. The school from Florida I was telling y'all about, it was coming up for you to watch this part of the private school. Well, they're not going to come now. They're supposed to play in September. They're not going to come now because of a COVID travel restriction in Florida. They can't travel. So the game basically is off. So
that's really?
Now Oakland now is down to 9 games now. So I don't know if they're going to get a 10th game or if they can get one. They'll probably just go with 9 now, I would say, unless somebody calls crazy, which chances that happens. It's like me and you winning the lottery about two or three times. About what chances that happens.
Yeah.
Call him up and let him play him. I don't think anybody called him up from hearing about Washington State to play him in football, I don't believe.
I'll talk to Watson over the weekend. I'll pass this on to him.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, too, George. Did you see what happened with the NCAA, the women's golf regionals down there in Baton Rouge?
Oh, yeah, have all of you seen this story?
That's terrible.
It was awful.
Pathetic.
So why would the NCAA step in and stop that?
Well, because what they said, there was all this water on the course. Said they was trying to get it cleared, I guess, 3 days. And one of the coaches over there, I forget what school it was, asked that guy with me, he said, what do we got to do to play? And I don't know. I guess the weather was that bad apparently for 3 days. They decided to cancel. But what they did is with the scene, they had the scene. You know, there's four regionals in the women's golf, or 18 teams in each regional. So they seeded them 1-18. So they took the top six seeds. So three of them's from SEC, LSU, Ole Miss, and Alabama gets to go to the national finals, not even beating up a club.
So this is what they said when they made the announcement. They said the course was playable, but not playable at a championship level, which who knows what that means. And the interesting part about this is LSU is the number one team in the tournament. And obviously
LSU's the host there.
And it was in Baton Rouge. So if the top six teams automatically advance and the tournament's in Baton Rouge, that's a little fishy because it's harder to play golf in wet conditions. It's hard enough in dry conditions. But that changes a lot, and with LSU being the number one seed, they automatically advance without having to play the tournament. Although the man who made the announcement, I assume who was the head of the NCAA's women's golf decision making process, said it was playable but not playable at a championship level. What the hell does that mean? If it's playable, let them play. There's a ton of seniors. There are a bunch of seniors there whose seasons just ended with that announcement.
Yeah, and it would seem to me to be a little bit like how I play golf, Jeff. When you get into a bad spot, you simply kick the ball and move on.
Well, the thing about it is, George, is one of the coaches said on Monday, it was Monday, I think they announced at about 11:30 or so that they had canceled the day, and she said that at about noon the sun come out, about 8 hours of sun, they could have played.
It's unfortunate. It really is.
I think one final thing, too, they said when they canceled it, I was reading when they canceled it, on that Wednesday, they canceled the whole regional. The whole reason was canceled. Nobody could play. Well, get this. After they canceled it, an hour later, LSU's men's team was on the course of Braxton. An hour later over there now. Braxton on that court, Braxton.
Yeah.
I guess they playing the regionals. The men's regionals next week. Of course, Middle Tennessee and UT Martin's going to be in their region. UT Martin's going to be in Indiana. And Middle Tennessee's going to be in Oklahoma playing in their region. You know? But see, they said an hour later, LSU's men's team was on the course of Braxton. So don't tell me they couldn't play at least win. But what I don't understand why they couldn't have just moved it up to Thursday, play Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah, it's a bad story. It really is.
It's pretty terrible. They said the golfers after they canceled, they said some of the golf teams and the golfers over there crying because, of course, last year you didn't have it because of COVID, and they worked so hard to get up this point to play this. You know, so it makes NCAA look bad, makes LSU look bad as a host. Makes it look bad, it makes everything look bad as far as that goes. Guys, have a great weekend.
You too.
And, talk to you soon. See you.
Let me go to Luther on line three. Luther, you're on WNSR.
George, how quickly does this Braves ownership, in your opinion, have to move to find a way to get a closer? Or at least somebody that can get the ball to your closer. Because four runs yesterday should have been more than enough to win that game yesterday, the way your starter was throwing.
Well, first of all, I don't blame Alex Anthopoulos for much of this. And no. Not because he's a Greek boy and we Greeks stick together, but
Greeks.
I believe that he is under fiscal restraints through Liberty Media that very few other GMs have to deal with. And I have thought for a long time, the best thing that could happen to the Atlanta Braves is that Liberty Media is shown the door. I still believe it.
Now, okay, question. Liberty Media, is that that same group that has that Bally Sports that carries the Predators? Or
no, different group? That's a different deal. And in fairness, I don't know a lot about Liberty Media other than they are publicly they're a publicly traded company, and so you find out that their people are making a lot of money.
So the deal with the Braves bullpen that he brought up, a setup man and a closer. So they went out and signed Shane Green, who had his moments last season.
He was pretty good.
Will Smith, who has been their closer this year, will likely move back to the setup man once Shane Green's ready.
Doesn't seem like the closer role is comfortable for him.
No. I think it's a little bit too much pressure. I think the eighth inning is perfect for him. He excelled last year in the eighth inning. And then Chris Martin, who took the seventh inning last year for the Braves, when that bullpen was the best in baseball, he's just now getting back to healthy. He's had some arm discomfort.
I never thought I would say this, but the decision not to re-sign Mark Melancon looks like a bad move.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of problems right now. They've got a lot of pitching issues. Soroka is not ready. Apparently will not be ready for some time. I've been disappointed. Charlie Morton has not been the stabilizer that I thought he would be. However, the division is not that good right now. Everybody's kind of bunched in. And that's the Braves' saving grace for the moment.
You know what hurts the most? Melancon, who is now the closer for the Padres. 12 saves, has allowed one run in 16 innings. Braves could use that.
Yeah. We'll go to the break. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Are you looking to start your own home gym? Hey guys, it's Zach, and I've got the hookup for you. Premier Fitness Source has opened a new location here in the Nashville area, and they are there to help you build the gym of your dreams. They can help you with residential and commercial exercise equipment and with the entire process from design to sales, installation, and maintenance. They are located at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. From ellipticals to weight benches, they have all the tools you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. Go check out their website at premierfitnesssource.com or go see them in Brentwood at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 next to Publix. And check out their Instagram at PFS_Tennessee. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to receive a free gift. Again, that address is 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. At Premier Fitness Source, they are committed to more than your satisfaction.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman Alligator Oil. Cayman Oil is locally made, right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman Oil can help you say see you later, alligator, to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say see you later, alligator, with Cayman Alligator Oil at mycayman.com. That's my CAIMON.com. MyCayman.com.
Hi, I'm Marcus Scribner. The way we treat others affects us all, and that includes the way we treat animals. Cruel treatment of animals overseas led to the pandemic crisis, killing 1 million people worldwide. Environmental destruction, pollution, and poaching have killed endangered wild species. Our world today is a poorer place for people to live and inhumane for both people and animals. To fight back, American Humane created a 10-point plan to help animals, people, and the world we share. From ending the dog and cat meat trade to universal humane standards for farms, zoos, entertainment, and animal transport. Together we can make a difference. Join the fight for our animal friends. Go to AmericanHumane.org today and sign our new deal for animals. For a kinder, safer, and healthier world for all of us.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast throughout this afternoon. Sunny temperatures, low 70s, mostly clear overnight tonight. Lows drop to the mid-40s. Friday is going to be a sunny day, high low 70s, and mostly clear Friday night, lows near 50. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
The man, the myth, the legend, the Plaz. The George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
You know, when we come back for the 3 o'clock hour, not only will Terry McCormick join us, but I'm going to find out from Michael Cindric what it was like not to play football this year. COVID wiped out his Harding University football schedule. They did not elect, and maybe I don't know the full story here, but they did not elect to try spring football, which I think has been a complete disaster for the schools that have been involved in it. I don't think they've gotten anywhere near the pub that I thought they would get, or that probably most of the conferences they're affiliated with were getting. Anyway, we'll find out from Michael what this has all been like. At the bottom of the hour, prominent Nashville attorney Jack Waddy, who represented me in my Cumulus lawsuit, will join us and we'll talk about athletes getting sponsorships and being able to use their likeness.
WPDQ
Greensboro.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. A one-time close ally of Representative Matt Gaetz, Joel Greenberg, will plead guilty to multiple federal crimes in court papers filed on Friday, including sex trafficking of a minor, and he'll agree to cooperate with federal investigators. The former Seminole County tax collector does not directly name Gaetz in the papers, but he admitted that he and others who are not identified in the document had paid a 17-year-old girl for sex. The escalating violence between Israel and the Islamic militant group Hamas showing no signs of letting up. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the U.S. is concerned about civilian casualties in Gaza and in Israel, and also says the president believes Israel has a right to defend itself.
Hamas is a terrorist organization. Hamas does not represent the views, the families, the people who are suffering, all of the Palestinian people who are suffering as a result of this violence.
This is ABC News.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-724-7317. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-724-7317 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-724-7317 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-724-7317.
Yes. I'm excited that baseball's back because it means great weather, a cool beverage, and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day in site credit if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. There is a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app, it's simple to use. They've got great odds on all the different betting markets. And when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WNSR.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
George Plaster, WNSR. You are about to witness history in the making.
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
What horrible, spirit-crushing thing are you going to tell me now?
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
Americans heard the news and went wild.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600, and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
And we welcome all of you into the 3 o'clock hour. It is a No Rules Friday, and we will go back to your phone calls here in a few moments. By the way, little story that's out there. I'm going to break the rules here and do one piece of an update. The NHL has told the Canadian government that it needs an answer on the Stanley Cup playoff coronavirus-related border travel issue by June 1. The conversations are ongoing. We've told them we really need to know by the end of the first round, and that's around June 1. So, that's that. Terry McCormick joins us. He'll be with you until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well, George. Doing well.
Terry, guess what we're about to learn?
What are we about to learn, George?
Well, you're aware of who Michael Cendric is.
Yes, I am.
Okay, some of our listeners may not know. He is a Division II scholarship athlete, football player, at Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. So, just hang with me here, Terry, because we're going to learn some things. Okay. How did you all find out that you would not have a football season?
Well, I remember we were, it was about 3 to 4 days before I was going to get back to Harding, and everything wasn't looking good. This is when everything was getting canceled. I think half of Division II had already been basically called it. And I had called one of my coaches asking for something that we were close, and he just said, hey, you know, tomorrow we're going to tell the team we're not having a season. At that point, it was so late that it wasn't a shock. And it didn't even set in. It set in when, you know, every Saturday you're watching teams play that you usually never get to watch because you're preparing for a game. And I think that was really tough because, right, you know, the only reason is because of money, you know, because these schools were getting COVID tests for these players two to three times a week. And Division II just simply didn't have the finances to make that happen.
What is the feeling like? I mean, I've got to believe you're going to use somewhere the word empty, hollow. What is that feeling like?
It almost feels like, you know, you just don't know what to do with yourself almost. Because one thing I'll say is the Harding coaches and the players did an incredible job with keeping, you know, the whole locker room was so positive during the time. Got to have a vision. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So that part of playing for Harding football was unbelievable. But it just feels like you don't know what to do with yourself. You know, and you play, you just basically have an extra spring ball. It's like you're working without getting paid. You get 11 chances, you know, minimum a year to get to experience what you've worked 365 days for. And so when that doesn't happen, you know, you don't know what to do with yourself in a sense of, you'd expect it, had all these expectations, then it happened.
Was there an option for you all to play in the spring?
I know it had been discussed by our conference, but I do know that our conference decided, and there were some Division II schools that played, our conference decided, hey, if none of us are going to play against each other, nobody else can play anybody outside of our conference, even if a school offers substantial amount of money to play.
So you and Watson talked a few days ago. Mack Brown, if I am right about this, tried to set up a game when he lost a game with Charlotte. Didn't he try to play you all?
He did. That would have been absolutely insane. They offered, I think, a good amount of money for us to go and go up to Chapel Hill and play. And you know, North Carolina was a squad, so we would have got our butts handed to us. But we would have had fun. It would have been awesome. And but yeah, and we, I mean, weren't.
Did
we
you
were
all
able
come
to
close to accepting it?
I think that it was based on the agreement that our conference had reached beforehand. That our coach knew there was no way we could have accepted it. Would have been an unbelievable experience. You know, we obviously would have soaked in every second of it. But yeah, we had that opportunity.
But in the fall, you never practiced.
No, we did. So we practiced as if it was another spring. Spring's tough for any college football team because a lot of times the coaches can kind of say, hey, if you get hurt, you have time to recover. So it's really physical. The season, you know, Monday through Friday, you're just trying to get healthy for Saturday.
So you're practicing 4 or 5 days a week?
Right. Yeah, it'd be
with no expectation of playing any games.
Correct. We had a scrimmage this spring, which was enjoyable. We got to scrimmage another team within our conference, and that just felt incredible to be able to play against somebody else. You hit the same guys for a year and a half. It just gets old. You know, there's only so many defensive backs on your team you can line up against and hit before you're just like, man, I want to hit somebody else in a different colored jersey. So, you know, the Harding football team did an incredible job with their attitude throughout the whole process. But next fall, there's going to be guys that are ready to turn it loose.
So, are all of you, and Terry, I'll start with you on this. I believed at one point that conferences like the OVC were going to get a little bit of a publicity windfall where they're playing in you know, the spring, they're playing in the winter, and then evolving into the spring. I don't think it got any pub.
Yeah, I mean, it did kind of fly under the radar. That is for darn sure. And I think, too, it probably hurt those conferences as well because, what was it, North Dakota State played one game this year, is that right? And they're kind of they've kind of been the lead dog at that 1AA level for the last several years, even going back to when Carson Wentz was there. But I would have thought that locally it would have gotten a little bit of a buzz, you know, with, you know, the OVC and all, with Tennessee State, Austin Peay, Tennessee Tech, you know, all right here real close, but didn't happen, really.
That first game between Austin Peay and Tennessee Tech, that was on one ESPNU or ESPN2, one of those. But after that, you just didn't see many of those games on ESPN or any of those big national channels.
See, I kept thinking that networks like the NBC Sports Network, which their claim to fame has been NHL hockey, although that's about to go away. CBS Sports Network, which shows you a lot of rodeos and a lot of, you know, poker.
Well, for that matter, George, FS1 and FS2 could use some creative
absolutely
programming.
I thought all of those would jump at the opportunity to put a bunch of stuff on TV. And, Michael, it didn't happen.
I've been confused this whole time. I mean, confession, I've only watched probably one of these spring games that have been played between these Division I AA schools. It just hasn't had the same, I don't know if it's been promotion or advertisement. It's just fallen flat. And now what's really difficult is a lot of times for this in the spring, coaches are doing a ton of recruiting, especially early spring. But now these coaches who have had a season this spring are doing that and a season and now have to turn around again and play another season. The coaches and the players, I'm sure. I mean,
there's going to be
lot.
Some serious burnout.
And the thing that is really difficult, if you're a player who had a season career, a season-ending injury this spring, you're missing next fall too. If you tear your ACL this spring, you're maybe getting back September, October, maybe. But that's, I mean, you're still not going to be 100% by that time. So you're missing really 2 years of eligibility for guys that have season-ending injuries this spring.
That's tough. It's
a mess.
That's the worst part about having to play in the spring. I get it. You wanted to squeeze a football season in. And, you know, it didn't work for a variety of reasons. We thought that maybe the gamblers out there would pick up on it because, hey, it's football. It's something to bet on. Well, it's hard when you're going up against the most bet or the most bet event in all of sports in March Madness. So you're having to go head to head with that, and then Masters comes around.
I thought in February and April that they would find a niche.
Yeah.
I knew March would be tough.
Yeah,
but
here's go ahead, George.
No, go.
Well, another aspect of this too that affects a few of these kids, but not a lot. And I know a kid that plays football at Murray State, and he has aspirations of playing, at least getting in somebody's camp and playing at the next level. And because they played in the spring, you know, and it was so close to draft time, nobody that had any aspirations at that level of playing at, in the NFL was probably going to be able to declare for the draft. And if you're at that level, you know, in most instances, you're not going to be a first or second day pick. You're going to be, you know, a sixth, seventh round pick, or you're going to be a free agent looking to get in. So all those guys are now going to have to double dip, play the spring and the fall, and then get ready for the draft in 22.
And I think that's where you're going to see some problems that we haven't really thought about. Terry, hang with us. We're going to go to a first break. Then we'll grab a few phone calls and then Nashville attorney Jack Waddy to talk with us around 3:35. The topic, NCAA players being allowed to get sponsorships, to use likeness of their image. They have opened up a can of worms. If you want to talk, if you got something on your mind, it's a No Rules Friday. I've never done this before. This is new. 844-5600 is our number. We had a bunch of calls in the 2 o'clock hour. I want to see a bunch more of you who have snuck out of work early. You got something on your mind? Call us up. We'll talk a little. We'll yap when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen Chenoweth. When our servicemen and women return from war, they often carry wounds that the rest of us cannot see. Up to 1 in 5 veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And often, even the best treatment, including medication and therapy, they fall short. Sadly, more than 6,000 veterans die every year from suicide. Thanks to the life-saving power of the human-animal bond, professionally trained service dogs can help. But connecting a veteran with a well-trained service dog can be difficult. Waitlists are long, and training can cost tens of thousands of dollars. But service dogs can bring healing. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program, which provides dogs to veterans for free of charge. Let's help our veterans heal from the invisible wounds of war.
2020 was a challenging year, but things are looking up, including the stock market's performance. But will it last? Hi, I'm Ken Morave, Senior Advisor at Retirement Planners of America. If you are 50 or older, call us today to schedule a free consultation to learn more about our Invest and Protect strategy that is designed to help mitigate the risk of the stock market. Call us today at 800-375-1159 to schedule your free assessment. That's 800-375-1159.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price, too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast throughout the afternoon. Mostly sunny, temps near 75 and mostly clear overnight tonight. Lows near 50. Tomorrow, Saturday, a partly cloudy day. Temperatures in the mid-70s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio
Download the WNSR app from your app store and take the George Blaster Show on the go from WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
3:18 is the time. It's a no rules Friday, at least for a few more moments. Around 3:35, you'll hear an interview I think you're really going to enjoy with Nashville attorney Jack Waddy. He is the attorney that represented me years ago in my lawsuit with Cumulus. He's a brilliant patent attorney, but the guy is just flat out street smart, and he's going to talk with you about what's going on in the NCAA, where it looks like athletes are going to be allowed to secure sponsorships, sell their likeness, if that's what the way you want to call it. I'm probably not saying it right, but you'll know when you hear the interview exactly what I'm going at. Michael Sindrick is with us in studio. He is with us for about a month doing an internship. He is a Division II scholarship football player at Harding University. So I know I'm asking you stuff that goes way past probably your bailiwick, but what do you think this next college football season is going to be like as you have all these different rules and this group played in the spring, and this group didn't play at all? Let's start with you, your group. Y'all haven't played in virtually 2 years. I've got to think it's like a caged tiger coming out, you know, in round 15 looking for the knockout.
That's a great way to put it. I think it's going to be absolutely absurd in the fall, just with the energy and the excitement. I think even schools that don't even have a lot of fans coming out to their games, I think we'll have more. I think the attendance will be higher if everyone obviously feels better about COVID, depending on what the rules and regulations are by that point. But if people can come out to the games, I think that they will. I think everybody's tired of being holed up. Everybody wants to watch college football. Even some of the teams that, you know, the big teams, Alabama, Ohio State, those schools, it was in the beginning, you didn't know how many people were going to be. You didn't have a full stadium. You didn't know how many people were going to be there. And so I think it's going to be absolutely absurd for the Division II, Division III level. I think that just the energy and the excitement will be absolutely unbelievable. It'll be really fun. Week one is going to be so entertaining on that level.
What about the schools that played in the spring? It really didn't quite work out from a pub standpoint the way they wanted. And now you've got all these issues of creating a second football season with only a few months rest.
Yeah, my fear in that, George, is that there are going to be more injuries, or that people's bodies, you just need time to recover. Our coach would always say after the season, just take a week and don't do anything. Because the worst thing you can do is to 2 days after you've been eliminated from the playoffs, go just absolutely kill your body in a workout or anything like that and give yourself no break. And so I do worry. I think the coaches, the teams that played this spring, are going to have to be strategic what they do from now until this next fall season, or else you could see some guys getting injured, and you could see some of those things that obviously nobody wants to see. It's a little bit of a worry for me, something that I'll definitely be looking at. And really, it's for that Division I AA level. Those are the teams that mostly tried to play. So going to be interesting to see what the coaches try to do from now until next fall to make sure that their players are healthy, are rested up, because you have nagging injuries throughout the season, and the off season is usually when you kind of get to nurse those and get those back to health.
Terry, isn't the other thing that the pro guys trying to evaluate these players, man, they're getting a totally new deal that trying to figure this out is going to be a mess.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think when you look at, you know, these guys, can you get an accurate evaluation? Because just like what Mike just said about guys recovering from injuries and all, because you know as well as I do that, you know, little nagging injuries, you know, sprained ankles or, you know, sore hamstrings and that sort of thing can take weeks, even months, to fully get back to normal. And if you don't have that time and you're a guy who's being evaluated by NFL teams, they're going to look at you and go, well, this guy is not, he's not as good as we remembered him being. And it may just be the fact that his body hasn't had a chance to sufficiently recover.
So, Michael, the schools like, for instance, the Big Ten that started in late October, Pac-12, even the SEC that started September 26th, what do you think, what are some pitfalls they're going to experience? Or are there any?
You're talking about last fall, them starting a little bit later?
Well, and now they're going to go back, in theory, to a normal season. What happens that's not so good because of that?
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought of it from that perspective. I'm not sure. I think that the time that they've had to rest and be off, and since they all finished at the same time in the big Division I school level, I don't think it's going to have as big of an impact. But what will have to be adjusted is the coaches obviously did things a whole lot different preparing to start the season. It was very weird how the fall season was started with those big schools, some of them starting late on different schedules. So really the coaches are going to have to remember, okay, how do we do things when things were normal again to get our guys ready for the fall? Because everything was so different this last fall. So they're going to have to kind of revert back. What did we do that worked? Some strategies may be completely different. You know, some of these coaches have really tough fall camps, some not as much because they want to get their guys really healthy for week one, week two of the season. And so it will be interesting to see just really the strategies that these coaches employ. Do they combine, do they mix some of these COVID strategies that they came up with? Because everyone had to adapt. Every single university and school had to adapt in the way that they got their guys ready during the COVID year. And so are they going to combine kind of what they did at COVID and before COVID, or is it going to just be back to normal is what's going to be really interesting.
So you may have kept up with this, you may not have. Vandy had just an absolute ton of opt-outs. Now, the cynical me believes that some of those kids said, we suck, we're not going to win, this will be no fun, I'm going to take the easy road. I don't have any proof of that, but I'm also not stupid. And when you think you're going to go 1-9 or 0-10, you don't sit there and say, wow, that's going to be a blast. If you all had played, how many of your guys do you think would have opted out?
I think for Harding, very few. I would say less than five. I would say tops five, but I would say, you know, maybe 1-2. You know, at the Division I level, a lot of it, some of the opt-outs were just guys that thought that they could go pro. Obviously, at Harding, that number is going to be a little bit lower. I think, too, just understanding the sentiment of our team, everybody was dying to play, knowing that this year or this upcoming fall, we're going to have a real chance to go far. We've got a lot of seniors coming back. And so I would have been shocked, really, if anybody did, if they did opt out. You know, I didn't fully understand the reasons for opting out. I know what they were, but I didn't fully agree or understand them. And so for Harding, I think it would have been a really tough thing for a guy to opt out just with how the culture is there.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I got one.
Go.
Michael, what do you think the level of play will look like at the Division II level for Harding and for some of these other teams with a year off from football? Because I know in just watching my son's high school baseball team, which didn't get to play in the spring of 2020, there was a serious adjustment period, and it took maybe half the year before those guys really looked comfortable and playing baseball again like they were. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like for football, which is so much more intricacy and teamwork involved just to try to get everybody back on the same page and everybody kind of flowing and clicking in the right direction?
Terry, that's a great question. We had a spring scrimmage against another team, you know, this past spring, and it was so funny how we had practiced for 4 to 5 weeks beforehand, and we get out to the scrimmage, you know, on the field, and it's like everybody lost their minds. You know, no one knew, no one exactly, we forgot assignments, you know, things were just so much more messy. The physicality was there because everybody was just ready to, you know, hit somebody finally that was different, but the it wasn't near as polished. And, you know, you already see that in the when it's normal. You know, teams say the biggest jump a team will make is from week one to week two and see the improvements that they make. But I imagine this upcoming fall, week one's going to be really, really messy for a lot of teams. Because even if you've been practicing it, once you get out on the field and it's game time, everything is so much different. And you just, you know, there's a real part that guys just lose their minds out there when they haven't been out there for so long. It's like they forget what they're doing, even though they've done it all their lives. So that's a great question. I think it'll be pretty sloppy week one.
And I'll ask, I imagine that experience will not be an issue with all of those teams because, correct me if I'm wrong, did players who would have graduated last year, did for the most part, did they return?
Most part, yeah. I mean, 90 to 95% of our guys did, yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, you guys will probably enter the season well prepared. I mean, you've been there long enough. You have, you know, the offense isn't, there's no installation issues where you're going to, you know, kind of be dragging your feet early on the season. So what's kind of been the theme this off season? What have the coaches stressed to you guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's easy when you have a lot of time to start nitpicking so much that you almost lose perspective. And so a lot of times the temptation is when you have more time, you start overcorrecting. That's a big thing that the coaches and players all realize and we struggle with is we start saying, what if we add this? What if we do this? Can we be better at this? And in a sense, that's good. But when you have too much time, it goes overboard that you forget your identity as a team. You forget your identity as an offense, as a defense, that you start trying to do too much, that when you get to it, you know, most teams, it's what is their bread and butter and can they do it better than other teams' bread and butter? And that's the simplicity of football. And so sometimes the timing can actually be a negative thing because you start looking at things too much that you lose perspective. And so, you know, I think with us, we've just said, what do we need to do that we're good at, and how can we just perfect that rather than trying to add a bunch of stuff and just be okay at a bunch of things?
Mm-hmm. Working on yourselves is very important, but I'm sure it gets a little tedious.
Oh, absolutely.
With the two straight off season.
It's all in the details.
We'll go to the break on that at 3:30. When we come back, you'll hear Nashville attorney Jack Waddy talking about what is about to happen on the NCAA level. Players securing their own sponsorships and essentially selling their likeness. Stay tuned. You're listening to WNSR.
Hey, Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rearview mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, it's all about the plain old grilled cheese, and I make it a soup and sandwich by adding the tomato basil soup each and every time. You just simply can't go wrong with it. Looking for something else? The pesto bomb will always steer you in the right direction. House-made pesto, spinach, onions, cucumbers, and tomatoes on your choice of bagel. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2. Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, plans are Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
DQ presents... Picture this. Picture the new DQ Summer Blizzard Treat Menu with iconic flavors that taste like instant summer. You order the one and only Drumstick Blizzard with peanuts. Oh, wow. Crunchy waffle cone pieces, world-famous DQ Soft Serve, and Blue Sky Bliss. Or maybe you get the Brownie Batter Blizzard. Ooh-wee. Fudgy brownie goodness. You're feeling breezy and dreamy all over. Moments like these are why the new DQ Summer Blizzard Treat Menu exists. Get it delivered at DQ.com. DQ. Happy, tastes good.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
At Slim Chickens, you and your family are our first priority. In every restaurant, we're working to ensure our food is safe, fresh, and ready when you are. From in-store pickup, curbside service, or now, you can get it delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim's app. We're here for you, and we're ready to serve. Download the Slim Chickens app to order, earn rewards, and get it delivered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Against all better judgment and no half-stepping, Redneck Nation is now full-time. Nashville Sports Radio is serving up the best coverage of your Nashville Predators. When the clock hits 5, the Renegades of Puck are on the air twice a day, a.m. or p.m. Every weekday at 5, Crazy Charlie and the Renegades of Puck give you Predneck Nation. If the clock says 5, Predneck Nation is on Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Follow George Plaster on Twitter at GeorgePlasterTN. Now, back to the George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
As promised earlier, we are joined by prominent Nashville attorney Jack Waddy. If the name sounds familiar, Jack was my representation in a lawsuit 17, 18 years ago that got a lot of pub and radio when we got involved in it with Cumulus. Anyway, that's not why I brought Jack on today. Jack, I know you have studied pretty hard this whole piece of legislation where NCAA athletes are now allowed essentially to secure sponsorships and secure things for themselves that they have never been able to do in the past. And everybody's first reaction to this is awful. This is the worst thing that could ever happen in college athletics. So I'll start by asking you, is it?
Well, I don't think so. No, it's a big paradigm change, and that's going to take adjustments. But it's not necessarily the worst thing to come along. It could be abused, and avoiding and contributing. And controlling abuse is going to be an objective that you're going to have to stay with. But, you know, it's not a bad law at all.
Well, okay, let's come from your world. You're a big Auburn guy. Do you not see the scenario where Alabama football, which right now is riding high, and there's a love affair in that area for all of those Alabama players that they're all going to be hawking car dealerships. Meanwhile, the rest of the NCAA will not be huge recruiting advantage for Alabama, and that's the last thing in the world they need.
Well, if you put it in that context, I'm against the damn law. But if you really think about it, there are plenty of good athletes, and everybody's going to be having some sort of program where they can get there. The top programs are going to have arrangements where their kids can probably promote sponsors and get paid for it. Now, you've got to be careful. Universities cannot make those arrangements under any of these laws. These arrangements have to be made by non-institutional representatives. So the athletic department can't do it. University can't do it. That sort of thing. But it's not going to keep an agent from being able to take the kid and knowing that somebody, a car dealership, would be glad to have a Saturday morning autograph session with a prominent athlete, draw a lot of crowd, and pay the athlete for that. I don't think it could be bad for recruiting purposes, but look, these kids are being exploited, and I'm really for them being able to exploit themselves a little bit.
Okay, let me try this one on you, because it seems like the 18 to 22-year-old probably doesn't have the wherewithal to walk into the car dealership and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I want to work out a sponsorship. So you brought up the word agent. Hasn't it always been illegal for that 18 to 22-year-old to have an agent while he's in college?
These state laws and a pending federal law provide that the athlete can engage an agent to help him in the promotion and marketing of his name, likeness, and image. Now, you still got to fight with the NCAA. But they are going to have to come around. In fact, they have already indicated that they are going to allow a college athlete to hire an agent to promote his name, image, and likeness. I have to remember those initials because it's NIL, name, image, and likeness, which is stands for the old National Interscholastic League, if you can remember that.
I do. So prominent Nashville attorney Jack Waddy is on the line with us. Jack Gentry is up next. Jack, what do you got for Jack?
Hey, Jack. I like your name, first of all. Second of all, what does this mean for smaller schools in the Power Five? We've got Vandy in town, so let's just start there. What happens for Vandy in these smaller Power Five schools?
Well, they have the same opportunity. They've got plenty. Vanderbilt's got plenty of money-backed sponsors. You think that there's not people who have businesses out there that might want to support their athletes and maybe help them get some better athletes by providing them with opportunities to exploit their NIL?
Well, the reason why I'm asking is because Vanderbilt struggles to fill a stadium on Saturday, whereas Alabama and Florida and Tennessee, all of these powerhouse programs, they have more interest and obviously more money just in their programs in general. So the draw and the return for these athletes to get compensated would obviously be much greater at one of those schools than a smaller school like Vanderbilt, correct?
Yeah, it's like the ratings. I mean, I suspect your commercials may be higher than some stations and lower than others.
So then what's the draw? Why would smaller power schools, Power Five schools, be for this if you know these other big programs will have such an even bigger advantage than they already do?
I don't know that they will be for it.
Okay. I guess my next question is, you know, if you're a college athlete coming out, and not just in football, in basketball, baseball obviously probably won't be scratching the surface with some of these players getting paid as they probably should, but If you're a basketball program like Kentucky, like Kansas, like Duke, like Michigan State, like North Carolina, all of those guys, What's going to be the difference between what they might see and what the football programs might see?
I don't know that I can answer that. I mean, I think, well, so if I can't answer it, I should not be speculating. But there's a concentration of powerful and very dominant football programs and a concentration of dominant, very powerful basketball programs. They get quality players. They may be able to attract those players even more. I suspect Kentucky is going to get most of the players it wants, and the fact that a kid can make $100 on Saturday is not going to make him go to Kentucky rather than making $80 on a Saturday if he's at Duke, because both those players are planning on making millions of dollars by attending those programs and turning pro.
And when do you think that this bill will come into action? We know it's been proposed. We know Florida, Alabama, and Texas are all for it. When do you see this, coming to the surface?
Well, there are several states that have actually passed similar bills now, and they either become effective July 1 or January 1 of 2022. And right now, there are 14 states that have passed bills similar to this. Florida, Michigan, Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Nebraska, New Jersey, Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi, New Mexico, and South Carolina. There is another 26 states that have legislation pending of a similar ilk. The one really interesting non-participant in this is, without any pending legislation, is the state of Ohio, which I think is kind of fascinating.
Isn't that interesting, though? Because if one of those states, especially like Ohio, where you have Ohio State, such a premier football program, which I mean, those athletes will be making a bunch of money on the side as well if this comes through. But for states who don't choose to push through with this, will we see kind of a dip in recruiting?
I don't think so, because I think there's going to be a federal statute that's going to be nationwide. There's one pending now. Actually, there are three or four bills that are pending now that have sort of similar characteristics as this. Some unique features of the federal act, which most people are saying is probably going to go through, and which will trump the state laws, is an athlete can't be punished for hiring an agent by either the team or the coaches. The athlete cannot have any of his other financial rights limited because he's making money doing this. Under the federal act, an athlete can declare pro. He can hire an agent. As long as he didn't take any money, he's got 7 days after the draft that he can notify the school that he wants to continue to play in college, and he can go back to college, which is kind of a big deal.
Nashville attorney Jack Waddy is on the line with us as we talk about this issue. Jack, I'm going to bring to the table a Division II scholarship athlete named Michael Sendrick, who's doing an internship here over the next 3-4 weeks. Michael, this ought to be interesting because it's right in your backyard.
Yeah, hey, Jack, it's really interesting, George, just trying to think about how this all plays out. And Jack, I guess I wanted to ask you to speculate, in 5 to 10 years, what is the landscape of college football? Is Division I into two separate divisions? Does this bleed into it all? Division II, do you think? Division III? How do you see the landscape of college football changing the next 5 to 10 years? I know that's a really difficult question to speculate, but just asking you.
Oh, there's going to be a Super League, and it's going to have all the top 25 schools that are there regularly. About probably 30 or 40 schools. Forget the NC2A. They're going to blow off the NC2A and tell them to go pound sand. And the most of the schools in the SEC, if not all of them, and then there'll be a football power conference, and there'll be a basketball power conference. They're not necessarily the same, because Georgetown could be in the basketball power conference but wouldn't be in the football. But they're going to set up their own organization. They're going to self-regulate, and they're going to control how the system works. And then there'll be another tier, which will be your more traditional schools. And if you're not in the Super League, you're going to abide by NC2A rules. And I think in basketball, for example, the better basketball will be played at those places. I mean, you know, it's way more fun, as far as I'm concerned, to watch Belmont play than it is to watch Kentucky play.
Right. So just thinking about the rules and regulations, I have a quick question for you on the legal side of things. Do you think that if a player signs an endorsement with a deal, let's say Nike, and the university that they're wanting to commit to is sponsored by Under Armour, is there any conflict of interest there? And can the universities do anything about that? Or can they reject almost a player's deal? Or is that completely separate, the player's deal and the university, even if it might be competing interest?
Under the Tennessee law, the athlete must give a copy of the proposed deal that he is going to sign to the school and give them 7 days to review it. And then if they have an objection, if it's in conflict with the school's interest, they can reject it and prohibit it from going through. And that would be the case here. They also, the student athlete cannot use the school's intellectual property, the trademarks, the all those sorts of things. They can't use that without the school's permission. And most of the schools are going to permit it, but if they don't want the kid to do that, they can, you know, withhold permission to use the logo so the kid can't wear a cap or a shirt or all that sort of thing.
Jack, before we let you go, what's the next step in all this?
Well, I think that a large majority of states will have an act similar to this one. And the NC2A, before football season starts, will probably issue a ruling on their views about what can and can't be done. And it's probably going to be consistent with the terms of these state laws, because the state laws are pretty consistent. And the NC2A is not going to fight every state. Now, they fight the states to try to keep them from doing it, but once the ball got started rolling, they had to give up on that because they weren't going to stop that momentum. I do think that there will be a federal statute eventually, which will be the governing law of this. It'll consolidate all these under one umbrella, and everybody will be governed by that law. And NC2A will have to adapt its rules and regulations so that it's not in conflict with that law. And when that happens, you will have a pretty straightforward set of regulations that people can review and make decisions about. Just like you have to do a review and make decisions about every other NC2A regulation that's on the books now.
Jack, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on with us. It dawned on me, this is not the first time you've gotten a little airtime.
Don't send me a sponsorship bill now. I mean, it's always fun to talk to you, George, and I think you're on top of interesting topics, and I appreciate you bringing me on to let me kind of debate with you some of these things and explore, maybe enlighten some of your listeners.
Jack, thanks for the visit, as always.
Take care.
Nashville attorney Jack Waddy with us here on the show. We'll go to the break, and we'll be back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
Hey, this is George Plaster to talk to you about the folks at Shield Law Group. My guess is that some of you are like I have been at some point. You've got debt, and that's holding you back. Maybe you're ready to get back on the right track, buy a house, a car. In general, put bad financial decisions aside. And that's where these folks can really help you. They're local. They're accessible. When you need them, they'll be there for you. And they'll give you a free assessment. The beauty of Shield Law Group, they have a way of negotiating settlements that potentially could save you thousands of dollars and improve your credit rating. And 30 years of experience means they can probably help you. So give them a holler at 615-742-8020. That's 615-742-8020. And ask for my friend, Bill Kaloudis.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast throughout the afternoon. Mostly sunny, temps near 75 and mostly clear overnight tonight. Lows near 50. Tomorrow, Saturday, a partly cloudy day. Temperatures in the mid-70s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio
WNSR. Call the George Plaster Show now at 844-5600.
Welcome back. Almost 1 hour till the weekend. George Plaster stepped out. He started his weekend early. I know it's a bit selfish, but that's okay. Terry McCormick and myself will be here to hold it down while he's gone. Terry, what did you think of that Jack Watt interview? Because he brought up some excellent points, and this is a conversation that's going to be ongoing up until, I mean, at least college football season, if not further.
Oh, I think this is going further and further. This is not going away anytime soon. And, Jack, let's kick this around, and Mike, throw you in the mix as well. I thought of three things that really came to my mind early on in this process, and I think the NCAA, as you guys know, is the least proactive, most reactionary institution on the planet. And if I'm the NCAA, you've got to get out in front of this, and you've got to pass some sort of statute rather than allowing the states to have 50 different statutes eventually that are going to govern this. I think if you're the NCAA, pass some rules, pass some regulations, get your presidents together, get this, get on the same page, and then if somebody is upset with it, have them challenge it through the court system. Don't let there be a different set of rules in Tennessee and Texas and California and Wyoming or wherever. And, you know, and here are some of the things that I think could, that's going to come up in this with regards to that. You know, Jack Watt brought up the fact that the NCAA is going to have to at least allow some form of an agent to be part of this, you know, in terms of signing contracts, you know, car dealerships or, you know, restaurants, whatever it might be for these athletes that are going to be using their name, image, and likeness. Well, to me, that's opening the door for all these super agents, your CAAs with Jimmy Sexton, Drew Rosenhaus, Athletes First with Dave Dunn. You know, it's going to open up them the opportunity to have another arm of their institution, and they're going to be able to get to these guys when they're 18, 19 years old and keep them as clients when they declare for the draft 3 or 4 years later. And then the final thing, and this one may be the most interesting, and why the NCAA needs to have guidelines and limits. What happens when Jimmy quarterback wants to sign a name, image, likeness deal with DraftKings, or worse yet, with BetMGM?
Yeah, that's a bit. That's a great question. It's unorganized right now, but that's, you know, when you're trying to kind of change the direction of where things are going like this, it's hard to get everyone on the same page. And you're right on point with, you know, there can't be 50 different ways to go about this in each state. The NCAA and Mark Emmert, if they want to, if this is something that they are, and I get it, you know, they're probably as against this as anybody because it's the NCAA and it's as evil of a corporation as there is, but they need to get, you're right, they need to get out in front of this, get everyone organized so it's not mass chaos once this thing starts happening, because looking at how it's developed so far, it's very realistic that this could be done as soon as this football season. You heard Jack Waddy say it this summer. It is as fast as it could get done. So Mark Emmert and the NCAA have to take this head on. When you bring up the gambling sites, the DraftKings, the FanDuels, the MGMs, that's a completely different realm that they're going to have to consider, because those things, all of those companies, you watch ESPN now. When a football game is on, they'll have the lines under it. They're going to have in-game betting options, and you'd have to imagine these SEC schools, these Power 5 schools, are all money hungry. They want to make as much as they can, and those DraftKings, FanDuels, BetMGMs, those are big money deals that are waiting to be signed as soon as that's allowed. And it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes, Terry. I know you and I are going to keep our eyes on it. But we have a good 4 o'clock hour ahead of us, the last hour of the work week. Terry McCormick and I will talk some Titans to start off. We want your calls. We're in the Strike and Spare Studios, with the Strike and Studio Family Fun Center Studios. The F&M Bank phone line is open, 615-844-5600. Get in, get at us before the weekend. We want to hear from you. We'll take your calls up next on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
WPDQ, Frankfurt.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. In Ohio, the city of Columbus has settled a death suit for $10 million with the family of Andre Hill. The 47-year-old black man was shot and killed last December by former Columbus police officer Adam Coy. Hill family attorney Ben Crump on the settlement.
We come here to applaud the city leadership in exhibiting responsible leadership, to say that Andre Hill's life mattered.
Coy, who is white, was charged with Hill's murder in February by a Franklin County grand jury. He has pleaded not guilty. The CDC may have eased mask guidelines for fully vaccinated Americans, but some say they're not ready to ditch them. One New Jersey woman says she's waiting.
I'm fully vaccinated, but, you know, my parents are sick and I want to keep them safe.
A bipartisan group in the House has agreed to create a commission to investigate the U.S. Capitol siege. This is ABC News.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. A Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman alligator oil. Cayman oil is locally made, right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman oil can help you say see you later, alligator, to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say see you later, alligator, with Cayman alligator oil at mycayman.com. That's my CAIMON.com. MyCayman.com.
Mayday, mayday. This may be hard to believe, but there are four amazing games making the rounds this May.
Wow.
Maybe you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But make no mistake, all four are sure to cause mayhem all May long. So don't wait and run the risk of being, well, dismayed.
Oh, man.
Make a major play today with new May instant games.
Nice.
If you're lucky, you may find yourself making it rain with a major amount of cash. New May instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You'd be amazed to learn what one Tennessee Lottery ticket can lead to. For you, it could be lucky, but for others, it could open the door to so much more. With nearly $6 billion raised for education, the Tennessee Lottery has proudly funded over 1.5 million scholarships and grants. That means, on average, more than 130,000 Tennesseans every year continue their education just because you played. The Tennessee Education Lottery, game-changing, education-benefiting fun.
George Plaster, WNSR.
You are about to witness history in the making.
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
What horrible, spirit-crushing thing are you going to tell me now?
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
Americans heard the news and went wild.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600, and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
The 4 o'clock hour at WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. I'm spending it with Terry McCormick. There's no one I'd rather spend it with than Terry McCormick. Terry, there's a ton of stuff to get to before we get to the weekend, and I know all of you guys have checked out of work. You're headed home. You want to talk a little sports, so if you do, hit the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600. One more time, 615-844-5600. We've got a ton of stuff we can get to, so whatever you want to talk about, call in and let's talk about it. Terry, what a beautiful day for Sounds baseball. I'm excited. I'm going to be in the stadium tonight. And they've got what looks to be, if you look, just look at the start of the lineup, a big league lineup. They got D. Gordon hitting leadoff, Christian Yelich batting second. And it's the first home stand of the year for the Sounds. They've taken 2 out of 3 from the Redbirds so far. They've got 3 more games left. But I'm excited. Nashville is just about fully reopened. And I think the Sounds, this homestand against the Memphis Redbirds this weekend is a good way to warm up into what will be an incredibly intense playoff series with the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes starting on Monday.
Oh, absolutely. Great night for baseball. It's right now in the 70s. It'll still be daylight when the first pitch is thrown. And like you said, D. Gordon and Christian Yelich in the Sounds lineup tonight. Yelich down there on the rehab assignment. So that's a chance to get to see a big-time big leaguer, not just a big leaguer, but a big-time big leaguer, one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. And while it's not the talk of the town, it's definitely certainly something to get excited about. Sounds baseball's back after a year of not playing, so we are grateful for that. But the Titans schedule came out this week, Terry, and I know we talked about it a little bit earlier on this week. The late bye week is something that I was excited about at first, the week 13 bye week. You know, the Titans, for a first-place schedule, so there are some favorable points in this schedule, but I got to thinking, and I was like, Taylor Lewan's coming off surgery, A.J. Brown's coming off two knee surgeries, Bud Dupree, the Titans' biggest free agent signing, is coming off a knee surgery. They're going to have to play 12 straight weeks before they get to that week 13 bye, and now I'm starting to question it. I get it. A late bye week in the first ever 17-game regular season schedule in the NFL is crucial and critical to keeping up with maintenance and keeping the bumps and bruises that a team will endure along the 12-game stretch in check. But what do you think about that? Are these guys that you're a little worried about? Or do you think that they'll be ready to go like we fully expect them to? I know Caleb Farley's another guy who says he's going to be good to go by training camp. What do you make of this late bye week?
Yeah, it could be both a blessing and a curse. A blessing in the fact that if you've positioned yourself to be a playoff team, it's going to give you a chance to rest and regroup for the home stretch there of the season, the last 5 weeks, which we've already talked about the other day, are very manageable, very winnable games, and it should set you up for potential success in the playoffs, because it should set you up for a fairly high seed if you can make it to that point. But the curse part of it is like you pointed out, you've got some key guys who are coming off of injury, most notably Bud Dupree, your free agent signee, Lewan, who's coming off the ACL, and then first-round pick Caleb Farley, who's got some back issues and things like that the Titans obviously feel pretty good about, or they wouldn't have signed him to a $13.5 million guaranteed rookie contract. But still, playing 12 straight weeks without a week off and not even a Thursday night game to, you know, kind of cushion the blow where you can get the mini-bye, that comes toward the end of the year, too. It really could be taxing on this team as they go through the season. Ideally, you'd like your bye week to come somewhere between week 7 and 10, but that's not going to be the case this year for the Titans.
And one of the fun exercises fans like to participate in is when the schedule drops, oh, they win this game, they win this game, they'll lose this game. You know, they have a record in mind once that schedule comes out. And while it's a fun exercise, it's really a moot point because so much changes over the course of an NFL season. But we have a win total. We have preseason win totals have been released, and FanDuel has the Titans win total at 9 games. Now, the last 5 seasons, they've won at least 9 games. 5 straight seasons. Last year, their win total was 8.5. They win 11 games, and what is their reward? They get a half-game bump. So in a smaller market with a team that, you know, relies on the run game in a pass-heavy league, not as sexy as the Ravens, the Steelers, the Bills, the Chiefs, even the Colts, they seem to not be getting the respect that they probably have earned over the course of the last 5 years. Why are people so down on the Titans and so high on the Colts, who, in some people's opinion, in my opinion, brought in one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL just one season ago?
Yeah, I mean, Carson Wentz is broken. I think a lot of people feel like that Frank Reich can fix him because they worked together before and had a lot of success with the Eagles. The question is, how broken is Carson Wentz, and how quickly can Frank Reich turn him back around if he can? You know, to me, you know, with the Titans, kind of more the same. Like you said, you pointed out that they're a small market team. I'll spin it back at you. Do you think the Titans are being underestimated just because they're not a sexy team? That may be part of it. Or do you feel like maybe this is some kind of trap bet that Vegas knows something about this team that we don't?
It's a good question. 9, I think the flat number of 9 is interesting because 9.5 would kind of cover their butts because they have the Colts at 10 wins. So to win that bet, the Colts would have to win 11 games. But I do believe the Titans, I think in a 17-game season, you know, 9.5, that number would make more sense than 9. It's not too far off, don't get me wrong. This Titans team still has plenty of holes, and wide receiver and tight end are a couple of them. What are you hearing from the tight end position. I understand that they're kind of out there in the market looking to potentially land a tight end that's already on another team's roster in a trade. I know that this wide receiver. Do you think, in your estimation, that they're done adding to this wide receiving room?
No, I don't. I think they still could add. I think the market that you're looking at now, it's going to be take 3 or 4 more weeks to develop. It's your post-June 1 cap cuts. Those guys who can be cut after June the 1st or traded after June 1st and their cap hit can be spread over 2 seasons, over 21 and 22. So that's where you'll see a few, it's not always not a lot, but it's a handful of useful players that most of the time are around 30, 31 years old that are getting shown the door by their current team because the cap number's too high for the amount of production that they expect out of them. One of the names that you kind of hear in that regard is Zach Ertz with the Eagles. Now, that he's going to be a cap cut, and that if he is, maybe that's somebody the Titans should go look at. I looked at the current group of tight ends that are available in free agency, according to SpotTrack.com. It's not very impressive. The best guy out there is probably Jake Butt, who can't stay healthy.
Ugh.
With the Denver Broncos. He's a guy that had a lot of potential, but tore his ACL in training. I think it was right before or during his senior year at Michigan. He was a late-round pick, a lot later because of that, and he's battled injuries ever since. The upside for him is he's only 26 years old. Everybody else was either a journeyman, a guy who's, 30 years old, maybe had outlived some of his usefulness. To me, if you're going to do that, you might as well re-sign Mykole Pruitt, because at least you know what he is and he knows what you are.
It's an interesting point. We have a caller. Tony in Nolensville is jumping back on the phone lines, the F&M Bank
back
phone
on
lines.
Phone lines. It's no rules Friday. All rules are to be broken, and I'm breaking one.
Hey, go for it. Call in again if you want.
Terry, I've got a good question for you. I heard this earlier this week, and some people in discussion. Do you think overall the Titan fans are disappointed right now, or do you think they are looking at the upcoming season with high hopes because of the disappointment? Being we got to the championship game, the AFC, 2 years ago, but then this last year with COVID, and then this year, you've got this, one of the, if not the premier running back in the league. You've got a quarterback that's really come forward, and but you've got the defense that we've all talked about, the woes of the defense, and then you go into the draft, and then you have your number 4 round draft pick is in trouble with the law and stuff. And overall, I think, I just want to get your perspective. Do you think the Titan fans are right now somewhat in a disappointment state?
I think they're a little apprehensive, Tony, when they see what's transpired this offseason. And some of that is simply for the fact that they haven't replaced Jonnu Smith, haven't replaced Corey Davis. And I'll the way a lot of fans are, and Jack, feel free to chime in on this too and agree or disagree, but it seems to me that Titans fans and maybe football fans in general, players seem to look a lot better to them in the rearview mirror than when they were here. Like, there were lots of people who complained about the production of Corey Davis up until last year. Then when the Titans couldn't afford to re-sign him, and he signed, I think it was like a $35 million deal or whatever it was with the Jets, all of a sudden, Titans fans are going, what are we going to do without Corey Davis? And I think, when you look at it, Corey Davis was a fine player, but I think Corey Davis is replaceable. It's not A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's presence made Corey Davis a better receiver because A.J. Brown drew more of the attention. And then when you look at what the Titans did this offseason, yes, they had to fill a few holes because they revamped the entire defense. They had to draft a tackle fairly early on. They got Dylan Raduns from North Dakota State. They're hoping he can make that jump and be their right tackle to be what Isaiah Wilson couldn't be last year for many, many reasons. I think when you look at it fans are always kind of skeptical. This Titans team right now, they kind of robbed Peter to pay Paul in order to took away from the offense to make the defense better, to make the defense at least competent. Now, that may take some time because you got so many new pieces. You don't know if Bud Dupree is going to be ready to go week one. But I think it'll be several weeks before you know if these moves have worked out. And I don't think John Robinson is through dealing. I think there's a wide receiver and a tight end to be added somewhere along the way, either via trade or somebody's cap cut.
Well, you mentioned John Robinson. That is a name as well that a lot of people in some of my inner circles, that his name comes up a lot. I think he's come here with a vigor to just really do great things, and I think he has on a lot of respects. But I think there's, you know, what happened in the draft from last year and then just certain things. And let's keep in mind, I know, and you know, we all know, that the NFL and every team do their due diligent homework on all these players. But you never know what's going to transpire with some of them. But in the end, it all comes back on the general manager who was out there making these decisions along with, you know, the others. But that's another name that pops up that I just think there's a lot of uncertainty, and that's a good word for it. Everybody's looking for, you know, wanting the silver slipper in us to really do good and to be able to wear that slipper and then to go into the season and have high hopes. But it's still that uncertainty out there. But I wanted to call and get your perspective on that. You always got great insight, and I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks.
See you, Tony.
Yeah, I'll put it in a baseball vernacular for you on John Robinson, Tony. You know, John Robinson's overall batting average is pretty good, but when he strikes out, he looks really bad. He's swinging at that slider in the dirt with guys like Isaiah Wilson, Kevin Dodd, Vic Beasley, Jadeveon Clowney. When he misses, he misses badly. And I think that probably has served to to pockmark his tenure as GM a little bit more than it should, because you got to remember, when he took this team over, it was the worst team in the league. They had the number one pick, and they've had five straight winning seasons. They're coming off their first division title. And, you know, that's the easy part. The hard part is taking that final step. It's easy to go, they say it's easy to go from being a 2-win team to being a 9-win team. The harder part is going from being a 9-win team to being a 12-win team and doing damage in the postseason.
It's good to great. That's what their motto has been. The Corey Davis point was interesting because I think a lot of fans, you know, they were pretty split on whether or not they wanted to keep CD around. But I think most people can agree that 3 years, $37.5 million was too much. That price tag was too big for the Titans to keep them around, especially when they had to spend some money on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think many people were as upset for letting him walk because of the money that he was getting paid, but in letting him walk, you had to figure that John Robinson would draft a receiver fairly early in this draft class, a draft class that was very deep at that position. He didn't do it. He waits till the fourth round to get Dez Fitzpatrick, and now you're left scratching your head. Terry, who are some of the top free agent wide receivers out there? I understand they'll probably wait till after June 1 to address that position and see if guys, you know, surprise cuts happen. But who are some of the guys out there right now?
Yeah, I looked at that yesterday too, and I'll be honest with you, Jack. The group that's out there now, the names were so inconsequential that none of them stuck with me to be able to tell you that today.
Well, see, that's the big issue is that I think CD is replaceable for the Titans for his stats, but anybody that's out there right now is not going to replace CD. Anybody that they got in this draft is not going to replace Corey Davis. So you start looking at it from the eyes of, yeah, they have to replace Corey Davis. They got to hope Anthony Firkser can replace Jonnu Smith and what roles he had. And they're still, I mean, Adam Humphries, yeah, he was injured, but he did play a role when he was there. Khalif Raymond also. What have they done that, even if they replace the one guy, there's still a lot of other holes on the offensive side they got to look at.
Yeah, to me, you know, the Jonnu Smith loss may be bigger than the Corey Davis loss, and I'll tell you why I think that. Because with Jonnu Smith on the field, yes, you know, his production went down last year, especially after Taylor Lewan was injured, and they had to keep him in to block more because this is first and foremost a running team with Derrick Henry. But with Jonnu Smith either in there as the end of the line blocking tight end or as the H-back, it made this offense much less predictable on third and middle distance, second and middle distance, you know, second and six, third and four. It made it much less predictable because the threat of running the football was still there with Jonnu Smith in at tight end, or he could go out into the pass route. With Jeff Swaim in there, you know it's probably a run. With Anthony Firkser in there, you know it's probably a pass. So you're losing some of that unpredictability and that advantage that's dictating to defense.
It's going to be interesting to see how they move about in free agency if they do make a trade. The Julio Jones stuff isn't even worth talking about because it's just not going to happen. It's too much money for a 32-year-old who missed seven games last year due to nagging hamstring injuries. They don't want to take that risk on a guy worth that money. Josh Reynolds is going to have to step up into a role that, you know, he's felt a little disrespected by all of this. The Titans fans are upset they haven't added really a true number two, and they didn't do that in the draft either. Josh Reynolds is still waiting in the wings, and he's got to feel a little disrespected. He's got to have a chip on his shoulder heading into this season. He's not getting paid a ton of money. He's on a one-year deal, so he can make a ton of money after this season if he performs to that level. Real quickly, Terry, because we've only got about 45 seconds, how do you see Josh Reynolds fitting into this offense with the current roster?
Well, right now I think he has to be the number two receiver. He is your replacement for Corey Davis. Ideally, I think most Titans fans would feel a lot better if somebody else was the number two and Josh Reynolds was the number three, and then they could say, look, there's three quality NFL receivers out there on the field. But I think right now it's Josh Reynolds' job to replace Corey Davis as the number two receiver on this football team.
It's the position they're in right now, and until that change, Josh Reynolds will be wide receiver two. We're going to head to the break. We're going to come back and talk to Alex Doherty of the A to Z Sports Nashville about the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes first-round playoff series starting on Monday. Can't wait to talk hockey with Alex. We'll be right back. Strike and Spare Studios, the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. Hit the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600. We'll take your questions if you have any for Alex. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon. THP is on the scene of a Jackknife 18-wheeler. It's going to be in Dixon County this afternoon out here on State Route 96 at White Bluff Road. Avoid this area here in Dixon County on a Jackknife 18-wheeler. Traffic's heavy now right on schedule on the South Loop. The West Loop 65 has picked up even more southbound, especially making your way down through Spring Hill. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check out all their flavors at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
With the weather getting warmer, I think about golf. Even though my golf game isn't that great, and I want to throw an option out there that you may not have thought of in a while. Riverside Golf Links at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. With new ownership, the golf course has improved dramatically. The greens look awesome. There are 27 holes, 9 of which are an executive course for beginners and juniors. So the other 18 holes have great bunkers. It's fun. It's relaxing. The pace of play will allow you to get 18 holes in 4 hours or less. So let me give you a couple of other particulars. A brand new grill, a stocked pro shop, and improved practice facilities. Great fun, great way to entertain yourself. Dial them up for a tee time, 847-5074, or go online, riversidegolflinks.com.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast throughout the afternoon. Mostly sunny, temps near 75 and mostly clear overnight tonight. Lows near 50. Tomorrow, Saturday, a partly cloudy day. Temperatures in the mid-70s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio WNSR.
We cannot wait for the Preds and Hurricanes to get going on Monday. It's going to be an exciting series. If the last two games of the regular season told us anything, the Preds are going to come out ready to play. Guys, we've got 30 minutes till the weekend, and is there really a better way to spend the last half hour of the show than talking Preds? We have Alex Doherty on to do just that. Alex covers the Nashville Predators for A to Z Sports Nashville. You can find him on Twitter, where he is excellent. If you need a Preds follow on Twitter, go find him at AlexDoherty1 on Twitter. Alex, what's going on, man?
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, we're glad to have you. I understand you're out of the office today. You're up in Wisconsin?
Yeah. A little side hustle up in Wisconsin, but I'll be back for Monday's playoff game for sure. So, I'm really excited to see what this series has in store for the Predators, because it's going to be, the last two games that we saw, what we saw in Bridgestone Arena Saturday and Monday is very different from what we'll see out of this series. There's no doubt about that. Carolina is going to look different. Predators are going to look different. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Well, you're definitely right about that. But what did you see in the final two games of the regular season that maybe gives you confidence or gives the Preds confidence that they can hang with what has been one of the best teams in the NHL all season in the Hurricanes?
Well, I think for Nashville, just mentally speaking, it's really good to go ahead and get that first win against this team. It doesn't bode well. It wouldn't bode well if they went into this series 0-4 against this team. Not getting a win or a point. And in fact, they probably wouldn't have made it in, because they would have to rely on Dallas to lose a game to get in the playoffs. In that case, I think just getting the win in earnest, winning a game to get into the playoffs against Carolina was a big mental hurdle for them. The other thing is, we're starting to see a little bit more depth scoring. It sounds strange when an $8 million center in Matt Duchene is now just depth scoring, but that's kind of what he is at this point, and he's playing primarily on the third line with some other leftover centers and Eric Halla and Brad Richardson and Nick Cousins. So getting scoring out of those guys, and they've looked great in the last couple games. And then defensively, I think they're looking better. They look like they can maybe handle Carolina's speed. Which that's a big part of their game. So, obviously Monday's game was different because that was all about Pekka Rinne, and we can talk about that. But, I'm really speaking more about Saturday's game, because that was the real key to me in how this Predators team can potentially beat the Carolina Hurricanes in a seven-game series.
Depth is something that the Preds have really taken advantage of this season. Nick Cousins has been a surprise. Tanner Jeannot lately certainly has been a surprise. He's one of the fan favorites around town, if you ask a bunch of Preds fans. But
no doubt,
in the playoffs, the top players determine how successful you'll be. Victor Arvidsson, I understand he went through a full practice just yesterday. Matt Duchene, who has been a depth guy, unfortunately, he's making too much money to be that, but that's what he is. Philip Forsberg has just come back from injury. Ryan Johansson is Ryan Johansson. How important is it for those top guys, the Preds, the players on the Preds roster who are making the most money, to come through when it matters the most?
Well, I think, you know, honestly, if you're asking me about who the top players on this team are, and I know you're talking about the top forwards, to me it's Juuse Saros, and we'll talk about him in a second maybe, but for the forward side of the game, they've got to make a line, a forward line, that scares Carolina, right? They've got to have a unit that Carolina has to match against, because right now Carolina has three lines at least that scare the Predators. You know, the Nashville has to match up against three very fast, very good scoring lines against Carolina. And you've got to make Carolina at least think about one of the particular lines. And, you know, just sitting here now, the way things are kind of shaking out with possibly Ellie Tolvanen not being in game one, possibly Victor Arvidsson being back, I think we're going to see a return of the old Jopa line. I think we could definitely see Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, and Victor Arvidsson back together for game one, you know, which would be great. And if you can have that line do what they normally do, that'll be a key to it. So, yeah, the top forwards, that top line has got to be an elite scoring line that Carolina has to worry about, because otherwise they don't even care what Nashville does. They just play their speed game and run up and down the ice like it's nothing. It's going to be a real short series.
You mentioned the play of Juuse Saros, who the Preds have really leaned on in the last 2 months of the season. He played all but two games in the month of April. I believe he played all but one game in the month of April. Pekka Rinne obviously cleaned up the regular season in awesome fashion, but he's had a week off. How do you expect him to respond in game one? It's going to be a really important game for the Preds. I understand that it's not easy to win in Carolina, and it's never easy to beat the Hurricanes in general. As you saw this regular season, the Preds lost their first, what was it, six matchups against them. So what do you expect from Juuse Saros in this series? What have the Hurricanes done to kind of throw him off his game this regular season?
Well, so, yeah, Juuse Saros started the 23 of the last 26 games for the Predators, just a crazy pace, and was the best goalie in the league in that span. I mean, a month and a half. Just real quick, I was going to tell you something that I saw right before I came on here. NHL.com ranked the top 16 goalies going into the playoffs, top 16 playoff goalies. Part of it they got right in that they put Juuse Saros above the Carolina goalies, Peter Mrazek and Nedeljkovic. So they got that part right. But they put Juuse Saros 8 out of the 16 goalies. And I was kind of dumbfounded about why that even happened. I mean, like, he's definitely in the Vezina conversation. He's one of the top three goalies in the league. But, you know, the guy has been the reason that the Predators are in the playoffs. I mean, he has absolutely dragged them into the playoffs when sometimes it didn't even seem like they wanted to be in there. He brought them across the finish line. He's been their best player. They need their best player, Juuse Saros, to be their best player in this series to even have a chance. I wrote kind of three reasons over at AtoZSportsNashville.com. I wrote three reasons as to why or how the Predators can win. And the number one is that Juuse Saros steals a couple of games. That's the only way that it's going to happen, is if he steals a couple of games. So he can definitely do it. He's got the physical ability to do it. He has never been better mentally in a game. He's tracking the puck so well, and he's got everything going well in his game right now. He's the way they win. I mean, if I'm sitting here after the first couple games and Juuse Saros has not played well, I mean, the series is probably over. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they've got a chance if he plays well.
No pressure, Juuse. Terry, you got anything for Alex?
I do. Alex, I'll ask you a couple of things here regarding the Preds. You know, one of the things that a few years ago when the Preds were regulars in the playoffs and making deep runs like they were all the way to the Stanley Cup was that Philip Forsberg was a guy that maybe while he didn't do it consistently, he would flash it and he would show puck handling and scoring skills that nobody else on the Preds roster and very few other players in the league could match up with. Now,
yeah.
Been through some injuries and things like that, and it's been 3 or 4 years. Do those skills still exist to where Philip Forsberg can take over a game and win it for the Preds?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Terry, you said it perfectly. I mean, Philip Forsberg, you could make a highlight reel of only his playoff moments, and it would be better than a lot of players. I mean, he's had some incredible moments in the playoffs against Colorado. I mean, we saw tons against Chicago back in the day, even against Winnipeg in that 7-game series. I think it's still there. I don't think that it ever really left. I think Forsberg has had to battle some injuries, and I don't think he's a guy that turns it off necessarily, but he is so often, when looking at this forward group for the Predators, he's so often the only offensive threat that another team has to worry about. I mean, a lot of other guys threaten you in different ways. I mean, certainly they have guys that have different kinds of skills physically and some speed guys, but no one that does everything together like Forsberg does. So he can play a power game, he can play a speed game, he can play a puck handling game, and he can shoot better than most of the players on the ice. So he's the most threatening part of that Jofa line, in my opinion, just because of all the things he can do with the puck. And he's not bad defensively either. He can go out there. He's not a liability in any way in the defensive zone. So that's also a key to his game.
And then a lot of people have had theories as to why this Predators team all of a sudden came to life after being really just flat and lackadaisical for a year and a half, all of last season and the first half of this season. How much do you think it's been a factor that maybe this team has finally been molded in John Hines' image? Because you think about it, he came in middle of the year last year and just was kind of going on the fly. And then, with all the stuff and in the shortened off season and everything, maybe he didn't get the chance to implement everything that he wanted to and needed to make this team play the way he wants it. How much do you feel like that this is now John Hines' team and molded the way he wants them to play?
I would actually give John Hines more credit than most, I think. I think for whatever reason, a lot of people want to say that, injuries and youth stepping up are really a bigger case for why this team has turned it around. But, I mean, you go back to January of 2020 when they fired Peter Laviolette, this team was broken. I mean, like, there were so many issues. I mean, mentally they were in a bad place. They didn't have any direction in terms of what their identity was. They had players playing, no minutes or very few minutes who were getting paid way too much. And then they went through this process of kind of shedding some of that. Craig Smith leaves, Kyle Turris bought out, all that stuff. And then they make a couple of really savvy moves for new veteran players. I think part of the problem that took so long for John Hines this year was because he had all those new pieces he had to work in that, he didn't have a ton of time to do it. I mean, getting four or five new guys like Richardson, Holla, and Cousins into the lineup when you don't have a very long training camp, that takes a while. I would give John Hines a lot of credit. The guy has pushed for the sort of mental focus of this team from day one. He's a teacher first. That's kind of what I think of him as. He's more of a teacher and like an educator, a motivator kind of guy, as opposed to just a light a fire under you and yell at you when you do something wrong. I think John Hines has a really solid chance of sticking around because of the sort of solid foundation that he's building here. So I would give him a lot of credit here.
Jack.
Man, it'd be really hard to show him the door after, how he was a major part in pulling this team from the gutters from earlier this season. You'd have told me the Preds are playing in the first round of the playoffs 2.5-3 months ago. I'd have told you to go pound sand. I just wouldn't have believed it. Did not seem possible, but here we are. Alex?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. Yeah.
Before we let you go, I'm going to ask you to give us a series prediction. Honest and truthful like you always are. What do you think is going to happen this series?
Well, I actually talked about it on our podcast, the Preds Nashcast that we do every week, and I think Link and I had different predictions in terms of who would win, but I'm on record as saying I think the Preds can win this, and I think they do it in 6 games.
Woo.
I think they clinch it on home ice, Game 6 in Bridgestone Arena in front of 12,135 fans, which is the new amount that they can have in there. I think the Preds can do it. I think they really can. UC Soros is the way that they can do it, and I think if he continues to play the way he's done, they'll do it. Goaltending wins playoff series. There's no doubt about that.
They've come a really long way mentally this season, and you heard a lot of buzz and some grumblings about David Poile and John Hines and whether they made the right moves this offseason, but it was, you have to give them the full length of the season before you make a judgment. We now know that. We cannot jump to rash conclusions anymore. I'm sure that will stop all Preds fans from doing that in the future. Just kidding. But, Alex, we really appreciate you coming on. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexDoherty1. He covers the Nashville Predators for A to Z Sports. Go listen to the podcast, Preds Nashcast. Alex does a great job with that. You can find that on the A to Z Sports Podcast Network. Alex, good luck, and we're gonna be watching this Preds series very closely. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
See you, Alex. Terry, a lot of good stuff from Alex. It's
no doubt about it.
The Preds,
he knows the Preds.
The Preds have got to, in my opinion, steal one of those first two games in Carolina. It would be very difficult to come down from to go down 2-0 and really have to win what would be 4 out of 5 or 4 out of 6. I apologize, but it's tough. It's a tough situation, and the Preds, from a mental standpoint, have to be in a better position after winning the last two games against Carolina than they were before that when they were winless. So we'll see how that plays out.
No doubt about it, because I mean, you don't want to go in over. Even though one of the wins was obviously, you know, Pecorine night, where the Hurricanes weren't playing their normal starting lineup. The Preds had some guys that they were resting as well for the postseason. But still, a win is a win is a win. You see it a lot of times in the NFL where a team will rest starters and stuff in week 17 and, you know, and that sort of thing, because it has no bearing on their playoff seeding and all. But you still, even resting those guys, you still want to win. And that's a big momentum boost for the Preds, because they did not want to go into this thing having not beaten Carolina all year.
You're right. And the Preds got everything and then some out of Bridgestone Arena. And I can only imagine that atmosphere will be that times 10 once Carolina comes back in Game 3. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get to the phone lines. The F&M Bank phone line is open, 615-844-5600. If you want to react to anything Alex said, you want to talk Preds, you want to talk Sounds, you want to talk sports, give us a call, 615-844-5600. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. You're listening to WNSR on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. In Dixon County, they've got a situation where a jackknife truck is blocking traffic on State Route 96. It's going to be westbound, just up from White Bluff Road. Again, that's in Dixon County this afternoon on a jackknife truck. Heavy traffic as expected here on 65, coming up through Madison, making your way up towards Goodlettsville. All the major outbound routes have really picked up in the last few minutes. Ripley's Aquarium, Sleep of the Sharks, coming up on June 11th. Check it out at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
You pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward. We don't see all the masks you wear, but we hope you can set some aside. We embrace your uniqueness and won't trivialize your past, your fears, or your hardships. We can't promise to heal all wounds or wash away all trauma, but we do see hope, a path forward, a future. We see all veterans. We see you. An opportunity to help you achieve a new mission, whatever that may be. Learn how treatment works and recovery is possible. Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money,
smart choice.
It's the Bill King Show.
I have this aversion to either the media or anybody else telling people what they ought to be doing with their money. Maybe in this case, it's just me versus the planet Earth. But I'm not going to tell those coaches at Tennessee or any other school, here's what you ought to be doing with your money.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The man, the myth, the legend, the Plaz. The George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
We are back. In the last hour of the show, we've got about 15 minutes. But guys, we want to hear from you. If you're out there, you're listening, and you want to talk sports, give us a call, 615-844-5600. We've got Bob from Antioch on the line. Bob, what's happening?
I'd like to talk about the Predators' psyche for a minute. I feel like even though Carolina is a much more formidable opponent than Arizona was last year or Dallas the year before, I like the Predators' chances much better because those two series and even the year that they won the President's Trophy and played Winnipeg, and Winnipeg was an excellent team. But I felt like in the past three series, it's almost like they've been playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And I think this year that's the total opposite. And I feel like all the pressure to me is on the Hurricanes. And if we can steal one of those games, first two games in Carolina, that Carolina really will be feeling the pressure then. I'd like your comments on that.
Bob, I completely agree with you. Just the fact that they got two wins against this team that they've struggled against all season with, and they didn't just get two wins. These were two dominant victories and two huge performances in front of an awesome home crowd. Carolina does have all the pressure. And in hockey, it's a lot different. You hear Watson Brown say this. It's not about who the best team is. It's about who is the hottest at the right time. And I'm hard pressed to find a team that's hotter right now that's playing with more confidence than the Nashville Predators.
Right, I agree. And if if Carolina slips up, then there'll be a little bit of doubt, and they'll maybe be gripping the sticks a little bit harder, et cetera. I mean, I for some weird reason, and it defies logic, but I feel like we've got a really good chance.
Yeah, I'm with you. And we saw what happened with the Preds when they won the President's Trophy. You know, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. And you're right. Once something doesn't go your way, how do you respond? That was the issue with the Predators, not only last year when they played the Coyotes to try and get into the play to the playoffs, but it's been their bugaboo for the last handful of years. And now the Preds are the underdog. They're not expected to win this first series. They're plus 190 underdogs, so big underdogs.
Right. Even when we played Colorado the first round of the year, we won the President's Trophy. We were. I mean, we were lucky to win.
They escaped.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like we were playing with confidence in that series either. Again, it was the playing not to lose, but that's not the case this year.
You're right. Bob, thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Jack, I would agree with that, because when you're the top seed and there's that, you may not see it, but then you can feel it, that pressure to perform. There's that pressure to live up to being that number one seed. And when things don't go right, and you see it in hockey more than any other sport, you see a 7-2, an 8 knock off a 1, in a lot of years in the NHL. And I'll give you an example, a couple of years ago in football. When the Titans went up to Baltimore, nobody gave them a shot, correct? The year Lamar Jackson was the MVP. What happened in that game once the Titans got up 14-0?
They threw the first punch, and Baltimore had to change the way they played.
Absolutely. And there is something to be said for that. When you're an underdog and you can get early momentum, there is something to be said for that. To me, the Preds' best chance in this series is to come out and punch them in the mouth and win game one.
I completely agree. And it's good to have this momentum. It's good to be feeling good. And the Preds, this roster is more talented than a fourth place Central Division finalist, is. They've got Josi. They've got the star power on that roster. We're going to talk to Ed in Bellevue. Ed, talk to me.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, as a longtime hockey fan, long before the Predators came to Nashville, back in the day, I grew up in L.A. as a kid in the 60s when the Kings came. So, I've been watching hockey for a long time and fairly seriously. I'd like to say that I might have an educated take, but when you look at this season is an absolute enigma. The shortened season, basically, no training camp. Basically, you know, no preseason games. And then you throw in a Preds club. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the Preds did leave the league in one or two statistics relating to the number of injuries, the number of guys on the injured reserve list, and at one point in time, they were actually leading the league in the number of different players that they've used on the roster. So, you know, I agree John Hines deserves an immense amount of credit for his ability to pull this team together and even make the playoffs if you consider all the injuries and the uncertainty. But this season is again, an absolute enigma. I'd like to say that I have an educated guess, but I'm not sure anybody has an educated guess. I mean, we don't even know if the Canadian teams, for instance, if they advance, are going to be able to travel to North America. We don't even know the quarantine times. I mean, when you throw up stuff like that in these athletes, I mean, man, guys, I don't know that anything would surprise me that happens in these playoffs.
You're right, Ed, and thanks for the call. Ed calling from the eye of a hurricane. But you're right. It is an anomaly. Another thing is all of these teams, they've been playing only divisional opponents the entire season. And the Preds at one point did have a huge chunk of their allotted salary cap on IR and unavailable to use. And maybe that's how this depth kind of came to be what they are. You know, they their roles were expanded. They were counted on to do more with the top guys out of the lineup. And now you have essentially the whole team is getting healthy. I know they're still waiting on Arvidsson and Tolvanen, but that is going to help them in the long run. That right now is where that pays off, where you get your stars back, but your third and fourth liners were playing on the second line. Some of them were getting plugged in on the first line when they needed to. It's the experience that they had early in the season will pay dividends. Not only has paid dividends in the last month, but there's definitely still room for them to perform once the playoffs begin.
The vast majority of the time when you have devastating injuries, especially to your star players, you know, you don't recover from it. But every once in a while, you discover a diamond in the rough or a guy makes the most of his opportunity, you know, no matter what the sport, when he gets a chance to play after being either behind somebody on the bench or in the minor leagues or whatever it may be. And that appears to be the case with the Preds this year, and it's certainly made them a much deeper team, like you mentioned.
You're right. Oh, man, I'm so fired up for Monday. I cannot wait for it to get here. But before we do that, we have to take one last break. So stick around. We're going to finish things up when we come back on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Quite heavy, actually, here on 40 eastbound, trying to get out past Spence Lane. People are rubbernecking on the scene of an earlier wreck on 40 eastbound. You head out towards the airport. Just busy 40 east, continuing into Wilson County. Heavy to the north, 65 up into Goodlettsville and watching it build also even more, or should I say slow down, on 65 south down through Spring Hill. Jackknife truck out in Dixon County, Highway 96 at White Bluff Road. Ripley's Aquarium, Sleep of the Sharks, coming up on June 11th. Check it out at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smoky. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Let's get you all set up for the Monster Mile at Dover this weekend for NASCAR. It is just like Bristol, only double the size. Self-cleaning, concrete, high-banked oval. Place is awesome. Plus, their, you know, trophy is Miles the Monster. He's made of concrete. Race number 13 on the schedule for 2021 on a one-mile oval. Banking, huge, massive, 24 degrees. The front stretch and back stretches are both equidistant at 1,076 feet. Stages weigh in at 120, 240, and 400. Cup race, 400 laps, 400 miles. That's because it's a one-mile oval. Last year was a Dover doubleheader with Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin taking home the checkered flags. Check out all the action, 2 p.m. Eastern, Sunday on FS1. NASCAR is looking at racing at Dover this weekend. Martin Truex Jr. has 3 wins at the track and is, of course, looking forward to racing there.
You know, you can use a lot of past history, and I think for me, when I go there, I don't really worry a whole lot about, you know, how fast we are or exactly what the setup is, things like that. I really just kind of go by feel of the car and know what I'm looking for, and that's really a key for a lot of places is, you know, once you figure it out, if you can duplicate that feel or that those certain little tendencies your car has to do well, you can carry that through the years, and we've been able to do that there. So hopefully we'll get it feeling the way I like this weekend and be up there, hopefully try to win another one.
TheFinalLap.com.
It's Macy's one-day sale with great deals of the day, like the Ninja Foodie Power Pitch Blender, $139.99. 42-piece dinnerware sets, $39.99. 60% off comfy sheets and bedding from Charter Club Damask, and plan for future trips with 60 to 70% off luggage. Going on now at Macy's. Plus, get same-day delivery powered by DoorDash at Macy's.com. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
So, how can I promote my new curbside pickup service?
It's possible with Staples Connect.
I need custom floor decals that'll get noticed, not just walked on.
Also possible, Staples Connect can help your business grow with custom printed sales and marketing materials. And now get 15% off signs, posters, and decals when you spend $75 or more. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Ends 5/29. Visit staples.com/signage for details.
We need the forklift over here.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
Okay, those molds need to be adjusted. The shippers are coming at noon, so we got to get this done.
Like at Dennis's plastic startup, to stay flexible, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The George Blaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and hanging around with us. I want to thank all of our guests, Scott Wallace, Jack Waddy, and our latest, Alex Doherty. Terry, give me your prediction for the Predator series. How do you think it's going to shake out?
Ooh, I think it's going to go 7 games.
Uh-oh.
The Preds can take them.
Got the Preds in 7. I think it's ending in 6, but I also it's really difficult to bet against a team as hot and with so that's playing with so much confidence like the Predators. So which sets up perfectly because next you'll have Predneck Radio, I believe. Yes, Predneck Radio. I'm getting the signal starting at 5. The next time you hear from us, it'll be Monday and it'll be game day in Carolina. Can't wait to talk to you guys next week. We will see you soon. Thanks for listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio. Have a good weekend.